The Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show. 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia. 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Tito? What the f***, Sal? Hey, what are you doing?
Nothing. I was here. It's a joke.
You're f***ing.
Watch it, buddy. You f***ing watch it, cupcake.
Guys, come on. It's okay.
You think so?
Sal, please. It's a f***ing joke.
Right. Sure. Say hi to your wife.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm Sal, please. Don't say nothing, Sal.
By my side for 20 years.
Have a fact.
Such devotion makes me choke back tears.
You know, I finally can say, we actually have what appears to be a timely booking.
An amazingly timely booking.
Unless something ungodly happens to him. Vito, the half a fag from The Sopranos, who may or may not blow his brains out next week.
Right.
He'll be on the show. Not today, but
tomorrow. Wow. Oh, my God, we're going to have to grill him.
Now, of course, this is coming from a man who told us that today Bob Barker would be on the show.
That's right.
How was I to know?
It's the Don and Mike show.
And they'll say what they wish.
That the great man would be called before the Los Angeles City Council today. An amazing coincidence that would happen today.
Oh, so he's not going to be with us?
No, he'll be on later this week.
Right. What about the fag guy from The Sopranos?
He was very pleasant. He used an F-bomb with me this morning.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm just blanking with you.
What's his real name?
I have it written down.
He's Vito on the show.
That's all you need to know.
And he's the disturbing one that likes Meadows' boyfriend, and we left him sitting in a motel room with a gun on the
beautiful. It was a beautiful show.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great thing about The Sopranos is that, you know, you sit there for 40 minutes, and that's pretty much the format now. You wait, you just wait for something.
You say, when is this show going
to
get better?
Big to happen.
Right.
And boy, when he showed up in that Village People outfit, and he's kissing that guy in that gay bar.
It was wonderful.
Oh. Homo.
That you can always count on, Joseph R. Granascoli.
Joe Granascoli.
Yes, Joe Granascoli.
Oh, right.
Well, howdy, everybody. And welcome to the official pre-show.
Yes.
Now, listen, Jesus Christ, did I have a... It's almost good that Bob Barker will not be on today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am such a big mouth with so many people that I want to speak about who I met and ran into this weekend.
Yes.
And not all of them good.
Oh.
And many of them would potentially could be a client. So let me just say, at a major electronics boutiques type store.
Okay.
So I want to be
wonderful.
I want to be open and loving to our bitchly sponsors.
Yeah, very good.
I want them to know that,
especially
when
with your whole big deal at the end of last week.
Yeah,
they were all crying when you got done with that.
When I call them bitchly sponsors, it's not really you. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt. It's the people that run the station.
Mm.
It's not the fine people that buy the commercials.
Of course
it's the people that run the goddamn station.
No, the people that buy the commercials are responsible for us, feeding our families.
But I am sure that these people that I'm going to speak ill of today advertise a lot.
Hmm.
Okay, I got to be very careful.
Yes, yes, you must.
Because I was double A pissed off, and then I had some adventures with a vehicle, and I had some adventures going down to see Frank Caliendo, and I know Buzz did as well.
I had an adventure,
and my kid, Jesus Christ, I had that, but both my kids were all over me all weekend with what was going on with them. But I think what we should start with today, if you'll allow me, is. Or even play a tape of dance.
Hi, guys.
I want to tell you about a call I made yesterday morning. Let me tell you how things go. I'm up early, as always, and I see the Masters rain delayed from Sunday, guys, or Saturday, guys, on Sunday. So it starts at 8 a.m. I turn on the high-def channel. Hey, guys, there it is. Beautiful.
Beautiful Augusta fairways.
I think it's early. It's Sunday. But I bet my best buddy Mike will want to get up to watch this extra coverage. Yeah, we can't really do it. Hey, guys, without the music.
That's right. Yeah, you got to have the music, guys.
In high definition.
Always have to have the music, guys.
So roll the dice. Because I know it's early to call anybody on a Sunday morning, guys. I dial 1-800-EAT-IT-MIKES. Here's what I hear. Now, Mike picks up the phone as if he has been up and has had a robust breakfast and is ready to attack the day.
Uh-huh.
Really, here's the call. Yeah. He goes, hello? And I said, hey, man, it's me. I'm so sorry to call you so early on a Sunday morning. Hey, and Mike goes, hey, no problem. What's happening? I said, you know, I just have to tell you, the Masters is on right now in high def, and Nance is being so Nancy, and if you turn it on and you watch it, it's beautiful. I didn't think it was supposed to be on at 8 a.m. in high def. I just want to let you know.
Once that was identified,
yeah.
Once he identified that as the subject matter, because I want to make sure everything's all right.
Of course.
And once he identified that, my energy started to approximate what it really should have been.
Not really.
I didn't convince you of that?
No. I wrote down. Now, here's the... I wrote this down on a post-it after I spoke, right after you said it. Here's exactly what I wrote. Sounded alert, awake.
Okay. I can fake it.
Quote.
I fake it here every day.
Quote. I'm drunk and I'm sleeping. I'll watch it later. Okay? I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
I didn't keep the conversation going very long.
You did not.
And I don't think, even though...
You sounded absolutely wide awake. I mean, just like you sound now.
And with that, you should know that when I was speaking to you, I was in bed, and I had looked at the phone, saw that it was caller ID, that it was you. Otherwise, I would not have answered the phone.
Sorry about that.
But I answered the phone, and even though I was doing this, hi, no problem at all, what's going on? My eyes, you see what my eyes are closed right now?
Yeah.
The whole time I was talking to you, and I would estimate from the time I hung up with you, I was sound asleep again in about 18 seconds. And the next time my eyes opened, it was 11 o'clock.
Wow.
It's 11 o'clock in the morning because I,
the great quote,
had a little bit of evening.
Ah. I'm drunk.
A lot of evening.
I'm drunk and sleeping. I'll watch it later. Okay, thanks. Bye. And not once. Sounding slurry, sounding tired.
No, he's the master.
But my body was ravaged. There's no doubt about that. Because I really, seriously took the better part of the day to recover. I think my full recovery time was probably about 4 o'clock, and even that was just in time to... I struggled to get through The Sopranos last night. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, the whole day was just a... I did go out briefly, but then walking back into my house...
Just briefly,
I said, hey, goodbye, day. What a nice day. Sorry I can't be with you today.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
This was yesterday?
To bed. What a day. This was yesterday.
So you went back to bed yesterday afternoon?
Went back to watch the Masters in bed, took my pants off, and... spent the rest of the day in my underwear and really didn't get out of bed other than to go to the bathroom. And I was, and Carla brought me food and drink.
That's nice.
It was wonderful. Dinner. We had a Subway sub outside, which was painful for me to sit in the car, but she went into the restaurant and ordered it and brought it to me because she was still driving. This was at about 1 o'clock.
Hold on, please. Which day is this?
This is Sunday.
Oh, so this is when you ventured out.
Ventured out because we had planned to stay up in Baltimore because I went up to see the game on Saturday. And, I can attribute the entire thing to the two-hour rain delay that they'd had in 40-degree weather up in Baltimore.
You went to Camden
Yards.
Saturday
night, I was going to go to the game. The game's supposed to start at 4:30. They delayed the game for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't think it was going to be that much of a delay. And because it was... great
lumber second bear.
Stop it now.
Great people.
Yeah.
Fun people.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of good times.
Drunk people.
Oriole fans, Yankee fans, Red Sox fans. It was great. It was baseball. It was frigid. It was freezing cold. We were dressed properly, but we also needed to fortify for the game.
Sure.
Great seats. Fantastic seats. Best I've ever had at a baseball game. It was just a good time was had by all. And it probably would have been perfectly logical for me to stop my evening after the game was over and go home and go to bed like normal people.
No.
But I have this little restaurant that I like to go to occasionally.
So listen, this is Mike tells us in the office.
I just wanted to go there.
He goes to Baltimore.
Carla did not. She dropped me off.
He goes to Baltimore with his girlfriend to see the Red Sox.
Uh-huh. Right.
He's drunk at the game. Really drunk, coming back home.
I'm the same way I am with you on the phone when I'm there. No one looking at me if they weren't counting.
Uh-huh.
would have any clue. Because I'm not one of these guys that, you know, I'm not going to run out on the field and grab a beach ball with, you know, or paint my, you know, myself red and white, you know, with lipstick.
You don't show it, but for the better part of the afternoon, the evening,
yeah,
you've been pounding. So
pounding.
You get close
right up to the seventh inning.
You get close to home, and then you say, "Hey, honey, drop me off." Drop me off at my bar.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I walk in there, and that's when the fun really begins.
Sure. And then what time did you leave your bar?
Don't ask me for... Oh, leave?
Yeah.
At closing time.
At closing time?
After closing time. I got home. I probably hit the sheets at about 3:30.
Now, how did you get home?
3:30. Called Carla, which is really how I knew that I was...
You called
normally, look, normally I can... You know, I'm just a couple minutes away.
Was she sleeping?
Normally, yeah, she was sound asleep. And she was a trooper, and she came and picked me up, and it was wonderful. Normally, though, I have a car there, and somebody on the staff will, you know, give me a ride.
Right.
In my own vehicle, and then get picked up. One of the door guys will do that.
Wondering, what's it like to be that close to Mike? What must it be like for this young woman who we don't really know that well, but we know, you know, loves Mike?
Mm-hmm.
It must be fantastic. I mean, you,
lucky.
You go to the ball game and you get the show put on for you, you know, because Mike's a natural showman. Then you drop him off at the bar. You go home. You go to sleep, and he calls you up and says, "Come pick me up, mommy."
Yeah,
it was. Rare is
the time. I think that might be the first time I've ever done that.
The next afternoon,
I really have to defend myself a little bit.
In bed,
and then she drives you to the subway. She was sacking out with me a good chunk of the time, but she ventured out like to go shopping and see her mom and stuff. I was the one that I was left behind most of the day. I was in kind of a coma. That's all there was to it with me. But I didn't. It was the only time I think that I can remember that I've actually called and asked her to come and pick me up, because I just didn't want to. I don't know what I didn't want to do. I wasn't thinking really clearly. I just wanted her to give me a ride home.
I thought you lived within staggering distance.
Yeah, but I mean, I never do that.
Oh, okay.
I never do that.
Right. No, it's probably not a good idea for you to be walking the streets in that condition.
No, you know, it's a safe little neighborhood, but I think that there's really no reason for me to be. I don't want to be out on the street.
Hair trigger temper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, anything could happen.
Who dare look, you know, the wrong way to Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
that's a good point.
Did you hear what he said today to that dumb intern kid out there?
No.
The kid that kind of looks like Tom Green?
No. What is his name, Rob?
John Solid.
I like John.
Yeah.
I like John, but I don't like that shirt.
I like him very much as well. We're all very fond of this dopey intern.
I don't
intern.
Like that shirt's been sitting there for 2 weeks.
So there's a shirt that's folded and sitting on this guy's desk.
Right.
Mike walks by and says, "What's the deal with
shirt
that?"
Shirt looks a little long in the tooth, too.
Mike walks by and says, "What's the deal with this shirt?" And the guy says, "What do you mean? It's my shirt." Mike says, "Now, hey, hi there, Andy Rooney. Hi, old man." Mike says, "You know what that shirt means?" And the kid says, "What?" Mike says,
"A hanger."
And then
put it on a hanger.
And as he walks away, not even looking at him, he just says, "Put it on a hanger."
It was neatly like folded. That.
It was. Have you seen the shirt?
Yes, yeah.
The shirt jumps out at you, doesn't it?
Well, not really.
The shirt,
but
I mean,
unusual.
You notice it.
Yeah,
but
you don't expect to see a shirt.
And it looks a little, you know, it looks a little.
It looks
weird.
Like it might be owned by a 21-year-old male.
It looks weird. So as I'm walking down, I was like Andy Rooney, because I said, "Put it on a hanger."
All right, hold on. Speaking of baseball, as we were, when you went to Camden Yards.
And incidentally, what a series. No disrespect. No disrespect to any
Orioles.
Oriole fans at all. None, you know, please. But, 5-1 on the opening road trip of the season. Pretty good for my guys.
So our hometown team, you know, here in D.C., The Nads.
The Nationals.
The Nads play their first home game tomorrow. We will be sending the semi-retarded Joe out to do his famous Joe Mo's.
Oh, good.
Because it's a 1 o'clock start time.
Perfect.
So he'll be able to get there early, and there's going to be all kinds of security because Big Dick Cheney's throwing out the first ball.
Oh. If he can.
So
cover your faces.
Be a lot of people for Joe to talk to.
That's going
to
put a lot of stress on his ticker. Throwing out
Let me see. Hello, may I ask you a few questions? Save for the internet, blah, 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 and CBS. Thank you on behalf of the NBA. Welcome to opening day at FedEx Field. Are you excited? Mike, are you excited?
Yes.
What is the best part of opening day?
The fact that it's another spring and it's another new beginning.
What about the designated hitter? Shouldn't he be allowed to drink during the game if he wants?
Absolutely.
Would you be cheering and yelling, "Go Nads" today?
Yes, I will.
Let me hear you.
Go Nads.
Louder.
Go Nads!
Do you have any advice for Team Owner Dan Snyder?
Not really, no.
Dick Cheney is throwing out today's first pitch. Does that frighten you?
Not one little bit.
Would you rather apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds?
The cream.
Please explain.
I'd rather not.
I'm an illegal immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I feel that you should be entitled to work.
How do you feel about Mayor Williams' idea of that D.C. has the first underground stadium?
I think it's very unique, very clever.
Do you know why the RFK hot dogs taste like copper?
No, I don't.
How about a guess?
Blood?
How did you react when Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet?
Oh, now wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hey, you asking those questions, I'm going to knock you right on your ear.
Quick, what does RFK stand for?
Robert F. Kennedy.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Okay.
Would you like to give me my B12 shot?
Sure.
I'll have to de-pants, of course. How did you feel about Tom Sizemore as Pete Rose in that ESPN motion picture?
I thought it was a tour de force.
How many points for a home run?
Two.
What word does this spell? B-A.
B-A.
S-E-B.
Mm-hmm.
A-L-L.
Baseball.
Uh-huh. How do you... Do you smell number one?
Yes.
I do, everywhere.
Sorry, I was just laughing at you.
Later on.
Interviewer.
Do you want to go to the armory with me and have a beer?
I'd love to.
Now, let's you and me sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay.
Well,
thanks.
So on. You're welcome.
Now beat it.
Hey.
Hey.
That's a good series of questions.
Had
to throw in Yaz. You had to throw in Yaz.
Of course I did.
Even after I got my special autographed jersey.
All right, so let's make sure that he does this tomorrow.
That's your copy to keep.
My God, I don't need it.
He's through it.
Just don't destroy it.
Might want to print out another one.
Oh, got to hold on to it.
No need to destroy that.
You'll want that.
Yeah.
You read it tonight.
Really, you should move my Tom Sizemore joke up, though.
All right, we can do that. Where would you like
it? I mean, really... You know, listen.
Why don't you replace the Tom? Why don't you replace the Carl Yastrzemski joke with the Tom Sizemore?
Oh no, that's a great one, Mike. You got to hold that one for the very end. You know, it just seems to me as I'm looking at how this thing was done.
Yeah.
Because I what I do is I write a bunch of them. I send them to Rob and I say polish this up.
Punch it up. Yeah.
And basically, he just takes all of mine and puts all mine like in one little stack at the end.
The bottom.
Parentheses.
What?
I put them in parentheses.
In a smaller font.
Where would you like it?
I don't know. Move them around.
How about right below Dick Cheney?
Well, hold on a second. Let's just look. Look at this.
All right.
Let's just look at this. Is a project between the two of us.
Inside the comedy mind.
Yeah, let's just see how many, because I sent you, I think, like eight of them today.
I think so.
So let's see how many of mine made the cut and how many of yours made the cut.
All right.
First line. That's Rob.
You got to put that in there, though. That doesn't count.
Okay, may I ask you questions for broadcast?
Right.
Okay. On behalf of the NBA, that's Rob. Welcome to opening day.
Go ahead.
The best part about opening day, it's Rob. What about the designated hitter? Shouldn't be allowed to drink during the game. That's Rob. We'd be cheering and yelling, go Nats. I changed that to Nads.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was, again, Rob, if you're just counting the order that he's putting these in.
There's a reason, though.
Do you have any advice for team owner Dan Snyder?
Vince.
Yeah. Dick Cheney is throwing out today's first pitch. Does that frighten you?
Rob.
You're going to like this next one, though.
Would you rather apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds? Please explain.
Okay.
Fine. All gone.
That's you.
Finally.
All
gone. Or mine makes it. I am an illegal immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Rob.
That's Rob.
One that I cut out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the newly renovated D.C. the newly revealed D.C. ballpark design? That's Rob. That one didn't make it because that sets up the next one.
Right.
Do you like Mayor Williams' idea of the world's first underground stadium? Which, again, is Rob.
Uh-huh.
So we're counting up to this point, and I'm not so petty that I would count, but
no.
It would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
For Rob.
9 or 10 for Rob. 1 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but mine are all the straight ones.
Do you know why the RFK hot dogs taste like copper? Okay, that's me. Now here's my look. When did you know when Yaz came out of the closet? That's me.
Three.
Quick, what does RFK stand for? That's Rob. Okay, so, you know, you couldn't give me like three in a row, can you?
Like to spread them out, the great ones.
Would you like to give me my B12 shot? I'll have to de-pants. Mine.
Good. Four.
How do you feel about Tom Sizemore? Mine. Right. Two. Now, hold on. How many points for a home run? Three. Now, would it kill you to give me a fourth in the row? No. You got to go with what word does this spell? B-A-S-E-B-A-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
Rob. Do you smell number one? I do everywhere. Mine.
All yours.
Should
it's
be
one of my favorites.
Should be moved
Way, 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 way.
I thought it was a good closer. It was so strong.
Later, do you want to go to the Armory with me and have a beer? That's Rob. That's fine. Now, let's sing Take Me Out of the Ballgame.
Sadly.
Thanks. Now beat it. Rob.
But oh, I used every one you sent me.
You guys never used the one that I want to put in.
What's that?
I've always, for every survey that's ever been
what
done,
that,
we sent them out.
What's that?
Can you smell my breath?
You know what? I'm going to put M.
Hey, I got one.
Hey, congratulations.
You smell.
I never get to go to the writers' meetings.
My breath. Good. Give that some better placement.
All right.
All right. Thank you, boy. Thank you very much.
Well, I think it's going to be wonderful when it's put into practice by the master interviewer.
Yeah. And Joe's already uptight. I shouldn't say uptight. Less than
he was very receptive compared to the way he normally is.
You know what I guess?
Don't you think? I mean, yeah. It was darn near enthusiastic.
With
for him.
Joe, I guess the words lower expectations
right.
come to mind. Yes, Mike, you're right.
He kind of.
Joe is thrilled
right.
with the opportunity to get up tomorrow morning and have to be at the stadium at 10 a.m.
thrilled.
And cut the tape.
That's the word I would use. Thrilled.
Absolutely thrilled.
I've moved Tom Sizemore to question number 4. Because the ones before that are all the straight ones where
nice,
they get the...
Nice concession.
The false sense of security.
No, but you have two, there are too many straight questions. See, here's the thing. I don't want to hear some guy really answering serious questions. I mean, leave your goofy ones in.
All right.
Leave the ones like the Dan Snyder one. That's a good one.
And I put Mike's question at number 5, right after Go Nats.
All right.
All right?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Excellent.
How about you, Buzz? You got one?
No, I really don't. It would have something to do with James Garner, but I think we're past.
Yes. Oh, and listen, I was blessed over the weekend with a visit at my abode from Buzz. I have television issues, of which I will not bore you with now.
Right.
There's somebody that I know and care for very much who really... Christ, I can't talk about it.
No.
Anyway, I have a TV that's ruined, virtually ruined, because somebody likes to clean.
Yeah. I think anybody that's been there knows what you, maybe even with just that, knows what you're talking about.
It's an LCD screen, which means you don't touch this TV, this fancy TV that I have. And as it turns out, it looks like someone over the last couple of weeks who's been in my house just like put their hands all over this thing. So I'd done some research about this, and,
right.
and Buzz was out and says, hey, I'm buying, I'm ready to make a tech spot. He comes with his little toolbox,
right. mm-hmm.
ready to, because Buzz is pretty good with TVs and crap like that.
He got a bitchin' set of tools.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I had just hooked up a computer. I'll tell you about that later. I was feeling real good about myself, but when it comes to the TV, I'm totally inexperienced. So Buzz comes in and takes a look at this and right away says, you know, oh, my God, this is hopeless. TV is hopeless.
Permanent
so
damage, I think.
So that's not what I wanted to tell you about.
Right.
Buzz did see the Batman cowl in my home.
I did.
And Buzz, if you would please to be so kind as to explain to the boys why it really, at this point, I hate to disappoint everybody, it can't be moved.
It really can't.
I can't wear it in.
It's like a museum display. I have not seen a more beautiful Lucite display case than I saw around the Batman cowl yesterday. And I don't think there's a way to take it out. I think it's in there to stay for its protection, and it's displayed in such a way that it would just be, it would be a crime to move it.
Right? I mean,
how's it look? Oh, it's beautiful, and it looks exactly like the one Adam West wore on the TV series Batman.
I can't describe it. The girl that's not my girlfriend
right.
did an outstanding, I mean, really, I mean, like, got like, it's like, Buzz thought, I guess, that it would be like, under one of those.
I just expected a square, you know, plastic box that you could see. No, this is a work of art. This is beautiful. It's got little silver pedestals that are conical shaped.
Cool.
And it's got open books on each side of it displaying the actual costumes and utility belts and of course, the cowl that are on display.
Is the utility belt also in plastic?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she did just a fantastic job.
It's the whole thing with the little Batmobile but the centerpiece, of course, is the box with the cowl in it.
So I think if everybody is okay, and I know nobody really cares about me wearing the goddamn thing except for Mike. at some point when you come over, I'll take it out and put it on for you. But I think what I'll do is probably get a digital camera and just
take a picture. I'd like
to take a picture
of the way it's displayed because it's beautiful. Yeah.
Where do you have it in your house?
Oh, it's right in that big wall unit by my humidor.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's
okay.
With all my other collectible stuff.
Cool.
All my other nerdy stuff.
It's definitely worth seeing.
And, you know, really, I've got to stop saying this. not my girlfriend. I've just got to say, my friend, do you realize
you're just my friend?
When I was talking with Frank Caliendo after his show at the Improv on Saturday, you know, and I had to hang around and say thank you for the tickets.
Right.
Right. He had a great show. Now, why I would do this with him, I don't know. He's a guy that we know through our association on the radio.
Exactly.
He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know, we promote his gigs. He likes the show. Frank's talented. I mean, that's about it.
Good connection.
Yeah, we're friends as much as we can be friends.
Right.
I don't know why I felt after the show when I'm standing there with him and the other guy, I say, oh, and this is my, I say, this is not my girlfriend.
Is that how you introduced her?
Yes, I did. I said, I said, oh, hey, Frank, this is not my girlfriend. This is Adrian, and this is, you know, it was like, hey,
yeah,
come on.
Too much.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't care.
So she was cool with it.
She was fine with it, but I got to stop doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
I really do. Anyway, and she's the one that did this thing to make this thing look like the...
I want to see it. Take a picture of it and bring it in. I think it's impressive.
Guys, I want to... I want to say, guys, you walk into the house and you say...
Take a look at the Batman's cowl.
There's some kind of a man, boy, that lives in this home. God... You know, if it wasn't for the fact that the DirecTV bill showed an extraordinary amount of straight pornography being bought, you might think that this would be like a lair for a pedophile with all the guys, all the Batman memorabilia, the Star Trek memorabilia on the walls, guys.
That's some utility belt and some cowl. Unfortunately, it won't be worn. It'll be preserved for posterity. All the great memories and TV experiences that have gone on in the little boy's head. The little boy... Who is today a man?
And guys, what a thrill it was.
Look, there's the utility belt now.
Hi, Hootie.
Hi, Jim.
What a thrill it was, I know, for Don. To see Buzz's late model Japanese car pull up his driveway. See Buzz get out, and there it is. The familiar toolbox that says, friend, I'm here to help you with your video problems. And incidentally, I'll tell you this.
There's Buzz Burbank now.
He came with all of the cables, the ones that have the gold-plated ends that I don't really understand.
Oh,
but
you mean
said,
monster cables?
He
oh,
said
yes.
You might need. Guys, he's like a TV repairman.
That's great.
And a newsman.
Wonderful.
Guys. Here's the real man.
The weather is ideal, and there are cool breezes. That cold front went moving through here yesterday. We had a four-hour delay. But even though there are those cool breezes, enough searing pressure to wilt the best of games. Just a beautiful day. And
he was...
Wow, what a scene we have here. What a leaderboard.
He was
to think
so into it yesterday.
Five players are bunched this close to the top.
And it was a sucky Masters. One of the more sucky ones.
Hey, guys.
Boring. Nothing ever happened.
And here's your first look at the leaderboard. Nicholson and Couples together at 252
guys.
In final pairing.
And did they make enough about those two? They made enough about those two that you thought they were making love out on the
together.
Course.
Together.
It's not about the game. It's about the camaraderie.
Guys.
If you'll notice,
Bible.
As they're walking up 17... Just a gentle squeeze from Phil Mickelson to Freddie Couples on his right buttock.
Lanny, you know that the Bible tells us homosexuality is a sin. But I'll tell you this. As I watch Phil, and who is the other guy, Mike?
Freddie Couples, Don.
As I watch the two of them walk hand in hand, I can picture them humping like those two gay cowboys in that Brokeback Mountain movie, guys.
Just like an episode of Brokeback Mountain, Freddie Couples, Phil Mickelson.
Doing it.
Friends for life, actually making love on the course.
Face down, ass up, guys.
That's the way we like to.
Welcome. This is the champions locker room at Augusta National Golf Club.
Uh-oh.
When you think about what it takes to qualify for a place in here, my goodness, you could say this is the most...
Hold on.
My goodness.
We've got to stop. We've got to stop because we've not really started the show yet. There's too much. And this is the point where we'll be screwed later. Mm. So let's stop right here.
The greasy, lumpy Phil Mickelson.
Who'll come right... Why do you hate the guy so much?
I don't like Phil.
Why do you hate him? I don't even follow golf.
So
I got nothing against the guy.
He's just so frumpy and he's so dull.
Kind of like that about the guy. Kind of looks like...
I wanted Freddie. I wanted Freddie for one real reason. I wanted Freddie because Freddie's 46 and I'm 46. And I wanted to see... And now I hate to say it, but I wanted to see the older guy do it. I wanted to see the old man do it. Wanted to see that story.
You know, I just realized, I swear to God,
what?
So stupid. The only reason I was rooting for that guy,
for Freddie,
when I was watching the Masters,
yeah,
was it's Fuzzy Zeller. I thought that it was. I thought he was the guy that said when Tiger Woods won the first year that they should serve chicken and watermelon.
No, Fuzzy's a lot older.
That's
than
why.
Fuzzy much older than Freddie.
I got Fuzzy, Freddie, and I kept wondering how come they're not referencing this.
No, I like to. Yeah.
That's only this is the guy just 10 years ago said you'll serve chicken and. You guys.
Can I tell you, though, seriously, Don?
It's not even the same guy, Mike.
Why I'm jealous of Phil? It's jealousy. You know, Phil Mickelson, Lefty, the great game, the trophy wife, the perfect family. That's exactly what it's all about. The perfect man, but as Rob and I have pointed out earlier, just a little greasy.
Guys,
as you can tell by looking at it.
Guys, the jacket's green, and so is the monster known as Jealousy.
Yeah.
As the gin blossoms sing, hey, Jealousy.
Hey.
Mike, give it up.
But of course, all that melted away when I got a chance to take a look at the Trent Lott hair of Hootie Johnson in the Butler cabin.
Guys, it's Jim Nance. I just want to say one thing.
Well, look, there they are now.
Here's the most important thing of all, guys. We know this about the Masters in Augusta. The black man putting the jacket on the white man, or as I like to say, the right man. guys, that's what Augusta's all about.
And I believe if you look at Phil, you can tell that no one could be more tragically white than Phil Mickelson.
Guys, that's what we love him so. You're at Augusta. He's so white, he's so pale. He's so us. He's so farmer's tan.
That's a scandal at the Masters, the real truth. Phil Mickelson, the illegitimate son of Hootie Johnson.
Welcome. This is the champion's locker room at Augusta National Golf Club.
Here we go. Yes, Stop it only comes once a year, the fabulous Masters.
All right, we'll get to that in a second, but I must start that. Before we even get to Frank Caliendo and some exciting stuff happened at a show that I did not attend, but Buzz attended with our friend Frank Caliendo. A lot of weekend stuff to get to, but I'm really going to have to start with this electronics store. I really, really am going to have to just start with them.
Very good.
So we'll
very good, guys.
Guys, got to tell you something. Hey, guys. You made a promise that you're going to start taking that first break a little bit earlier in the show, guys. Don?
Promises are meant to keep, Don.
Don, I'm looking at your notes right now. Right here it says break by 3:20. Guys?
I've got the liner notes right in front of me. Here's the playbill for the Don and Mike show today.
3:32 East Coast time. Guys, Don, Mike, late, not right, guys.
Phil Mickelson demanding a nice hair washing.
It's white. White is right. The black man puts the jacket back on the white man, and things are right at Augusta.
Big party held by Hootie, guys, and the rest of the white membership.
And, of course, I was rooting for Freddie Couples.
Of course.
He's my roommate.
Because you thought he was Fuzzy Zeller.
No, I was being Jim Nance there.
Oh, sorry about that, yes.
Because you know Jim Nance.
I intend to remain objective.
In real life, Jim Nance was a roommate of Freddie Couples.
And during their time at... What school was it? The University of Houston?
Various toga parties.
Yes.
I learned to play the game where you bend over and spell the word run, guys.
I remember that fabulous time that Freddie and I were playing hide the putter. And all the great times. He went on to be, of course, a legendary golfer. A legendary broadcaster. Now, reunited once again, and I can't help but feel... mild arousal as Freddie walks up the fairway at Augusta.
The weather is ideal, and there are cool breezes. That cold front went moving through here yesterday. We had a four-hour delay. But even though there are those cool breezes, enough searing pressure to wilt the best of games.
Searing pressure. He's felt searing pressure with Freddie Couples when they were roommates.
If you hadn't heard Nance on the show all the years, maybe it wouldn't be as funny to you. But
it is. No, it would be.
My guy, guys,
he's at his Nanciest at the Masters.
Yep. Guys,
no football game ever even comes remotely close
to that.
Thank
God,
guys, Timex. Guys, look at your left or right. Wrists accordingly.
The best is when he said hi to Hootie, because Hootie Johnson, who completely controls everything.
Foghorn Leghorn.
He introduces Jim Nance, and Jim Nance comes in and goes, hi, Hootie. I thought seriously he was going to give him a tongue kiss.
Guys, when the azaleas come to bloom and you look at the clock on the wall and you haven't broken yet, that's a harbinger, Don. It's a harbinger of a late-running show.
Searing pressure enough to wilt the best of games.
Rob, I gotta say, listen, part of your gig, guys, the towards discipline. Look at Rob. Obviously, he has none. Even now, when he should be saying go to break.
I just did, Don.
He loves the microphone time so much, though. He jumps on the microphone.
The pointing at the clock, the dwelling at your side, nothing works.
Ever walking the tightrope behind the scenes in front of the microphone, where does he want to be? The young Virginia Commonwealth University sophomore?
Drama arts, theater. Lettering, theater arts, lettered. There he is, walking up the 18th, Rob Spiewak.
Theater arts, and doing very well on the Don and Mike show, maintaining his mantra. The thought that's kept him going strong over the years, the fact that he will never exercise, not a day.
Don Geronimo, only one button away from going to break. Why won't he hit the button?
There you go, that's my guy. Don and Mike to break.
Don and Mike to break right now.
This is the Don and Mike. Is the Don and Mike Show.
You didn't think I saw you, did you, Burbank?
No, yeah. I thought you saw.
Saw you?
Yeah. Thought it was a secret.
All right, guys. I have to be quiet now and have some fun before we start the laughing place and start the show, guys.
We're back on the Don and Mike Show.
Good evening. I'm Hootie Johnson, chairman of Augusta National Golf Club, and we sure hope you enjoyed the Masters Tournament.
Yeah. Go on in, those fair barnyard claws.
First, I want to thank our television viewers from all across America and around the world in over 190 countries for their loyal support of the Masters.
What's I say, son? What's the gimmick? Well, what's it all about? I say, that's no chicken. I say, that's no chicken, son. I'm a chicken. Rooster, that is.
I'm here. Sarge Butler Cabin with my good friend Jim Nance.
Hi, Hootie.
I look forward to being with you, Jim.
Pleasure. What a day.
Hi, Hootie.
In a few moments, we'll be joined by our 2006 champion, Phil Mickelson, and with him will be last year's champion, Tiger Woods.
Hold on there, boys. A rooster's got to learn to eat corn off the cob. Well, what do you know? There's an ear of corn now.
He's so dumb, he thinks a Mexican border pays rent.
You present him with his green jacket. And, Jim, I believe they're coming in now. Congratulations, Phil.
Thank you, Mr.
Happy
Johnson.
For you.
Thank you.
Hey, Jim.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I keep pitching them and you keep missing them. You got to keep your eye on the ball. Eye, ball, eyeball. I almost had a gag, son. Joke, that is.
There they are now.
There we go.
Boy, am I in love. I think about my life in place. Everybody's gonna laugh in place. A laugh in place to go home.
I hit it so good today, and all day. I mean, from the first tee all the way to the 18th hole.
Oh, hold on.
Is that Phil?
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson?
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or between 1 and 5, 2 and 4. Or check your local listing.
The Don and Mike Show. Check up. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Go ahead and mock her, Mike.
Keep up.
You go ahead and mock this woman.
I never will mock her anymore.
She was ready to perform on your birthday, you bastard.
I know.
Said no.
I know. I'm so. I'll always regret that.
I love Cindy. Cindy Lauper.
Hello.
There's some good tunage.
Chip-bop.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Chip-bop.
The song is about Doug.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Right. She's so unusual.
If you don't understand that, the song is about Doug.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling your way.
It's girls.
Right.
You know what? We better officially open the door and... to bring him in.
He's mentally retarded.
Oh. How is? By the way, how is your
How's your
green jacket?
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Super Duper Silius, and all the ships at sea. Personal diet and style consultant to Phil Mickelson.
Stop it.
Dr. Ottimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I don't know why everybody piles on Phil. Guys, really.
Come on, guys, back off. He's the champion, okay?
White is right. Guys, I'm not comfortable with the choice of a song, guys.
Shebop.
I hate to think about my little daughter at her bat mitzvah.
Yep.
Guys.
Who knows, guys? She might grow up and be influenced by this trash.
This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode. Everybody on this Monday.
Monday, guys.
0410-06.
Hi, Donna. Mike
Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz Dad. Right. Here's your phone numbers now. We don't give these out a lot. If we had our way, these would be unlisted numbers. So listen up now. Hear me now and then forget it immediately. 877-365-3636. That's our main number. We got a secondary number, 800-636-1067. And if you're listening to us in Washington, D.C. on WJFK, you can call 202-432-1067.
Thank you, Don, for giving out the numbers.
Hoodie. Hey, Hoodie. Hi, Don. I love you. It's your Hoodie, it's Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys.
Look, there's Don now.
Yeah. Hey, speak. Yeah. Hey. Never mind.
Look, it's Jay Leno.
We're on the internet. You can hear us on your computer. Go to our website, DonAndMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live, and you're going to get the internet stream. And Mike, today it's Pure Cindy.
Wow, look at that.
As a tribute to Cindy Lauper.
That's like Technicolor.
What we've done is we took her spandex outfit.
It's like a melted popsicle.
We took her spandex outfit from the Shebop video. And what we did is we rang it out.
Is that what that is?
And this is really the essence of the 80s Cindy Lauper.
Oh, man.
So, you know, drink it. It's drinkable. It
smells like sardines.
Watch out for the hairs.
Oh, that's not good.
And
orange hairs.
There we go. There's the internet stream.
Tiny orange hairs.
You can also email us if you want. Same website.
Yeah.
DonAndMikeWebsite.com.
We actually read it.
Our man Yanni, well, we don't.
We have a guy.
Yanni pre-reads them.
Right.
And brings us any that are pertinent to the show. We're also on iTunes. Mm-hmm. If you've got an iPod, go to the talk radio genre. And there's about 50 or 60 episodes, maybe more than that, that are up now on iTunes. So, okay. Good. Hi. Let's go. Let's take a call. Let's just start with a blind call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This person's blind.
No, meaning that it's unscreened.
I understand.
Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi. This is Mike's Liver checking in.
Yes, hello, Mike.
Hey, it's my liver.
Oh, Mike's liver.
How are you doing today?
Mike's liver.
Yeah, after the weekend. How are you today?
Not very well.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so. By Wednesday, you ought to be a little more perky.
More perky.
Okay, yes.
Goodbye.
Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
Let's always like it when my liver checks in. I'm sleepy.
Another one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going, Don?
All right, my friend. And Mike, we're all here. And Buzz, and Rob.
Yeah, hey, how's the bald spot where you hit your head on the roof when you got in that accident?
Well, thank you for asking, but...
How is your noggin after
you can accident? You can barely tell. I'm a fast healer.
It's not tender or anything?
No, it's not.
Why the concern?
Actually, what it is the top of my head is now very soft, like a newborn baby.
Uh-huh. Well, it was soft before. You just weren't aware of it until you hit your head.
Now I can actually put a finger in the top of my head and actually go all the way down to what's little is left of my brain.
I think when you really push hard on it, it makes your right eye sag.
That's just a trick.
Mm-hmm. So it's a simple actor's trick.
Just a trick.
Barely notice the throbbing.
Right.
Thank you for asking. You know, actually, I was very lucky that where I did have to get the stitches in my head was right below where I'm losing that all of my hair.
Yeah.
And there is hair over the little scar there.
It covered it.
Yeah, so...
For now.
So, for now.
Mm-hmm.
And let me know anytime you want to have that contest about measuring to see who has the biggest bald spot.
Can I see yours? Take a look at yours. Let's see yours, Rob.
What bald spot?
Let me see yours, Don.
There you go.
Okay.
Boy, that's close.
That's what I'm telling you.
That is remarkably close.
I've got no problem telling you that mine is egg-sized, you know, bordering on volleyball size.
Let me see. Turn around. And don't lean forward. Let me just see.
Let's see the back.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, boy, that's pretty close.
You know, they're different. They're much different. Boy, they're almost like, they favor, like, when I'm looking at it, they both favor the right side.
I have no bald spot.
Yes, you do.
You're in denial.
You do.
I disagree.
You're
in denial. And you know what? You're also up on top a little bit thin, too. Like the hairline, right? Yeah.
Well, that's retreating.
That's getting a little higher.
Yeah, that's retreating. Like
your dad's got his hair, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't your dad have most of his hair?
Yeah, but don't you remember, seriously, Rob's dad, Bob Spiewak, the very first time that we met Rob's dad, like 15 years ago, was at a club, and Rob's playing a game with us. See if you can pick his dad out of the crowd.
And right. I literally... My jaw hit the floor when I saw his father.
I mean, we're not...
His father looks 10 years younger than he looks.
Mm-hmm. We're not faggots, but I'll tell you that in my humble estimation, the celebrity that Rob's dad most resembles is Treat Williams. And he is...
I'll be glad to tell him
that. He's quite the treat. And I'm talking about the Treat Williams that's on Everwood that has the beard, because your dad has the distinguished beard.
Amazingly, my father never balded, and he never turned gray. But he also wasn't married as long as me.
That's funny.
And that's
and
true.
He's not heavy either, right? Your father's not really that heavy?
No. He's looking good.
Right.
He'll outlive us all. diabetes.
It is the oddest thing that you can see Rob and see his dad, and you can go. You have to wait and look them in the eyes.
Right.
And then he's okay.
Does your dad have an earring too?
He did at one point.
He doesn't anymore.
When he was living on the pirate ship, he did have a pierced ear for a while. I think.
I mean, kind of like he was a hipster at the time.
Well, you know, for a while he lived in Portland, Oregon, and there's like a hippie scene out there. He was the hippiest business consultant there is.
I haven't seen your dad in a long time.
For a while, we were concerned that Rob, like myself, was adopted, and that maybe Rob's parents just didn't tell him. Because,
right, maybe.
Because the first time we saw his dad, it was like, this is a goof. Because, well, listen, go to our website, take a look at Rob.
Yeah.
Take a look at Rob's picture.
You don't have any siblings, do you?
I don't.
Okay, so you're an only child.
I have a couple stepbrothers, but they don't look anything like me because we're not related.
You see, I kind of went through the similar thing with my sister. Anybody you've seen my sister, and you know, and I mean,
that I have.
When you're the ugly child in the family, you know, that you get that a lot. You know, there's just no way. You know, there's really no way you could be the offspring here. You know, she is, but not you.
I look a little like my dad, but we're very much alike mentally. So there's no doubt that he's really my dad.
Good.
But, he drinks Beck's.
But you've never had a blood test done, though.
Well, I've had a blood test, but not for that.
To prove that.
No.
Okay.
He'd be owning up to it if that wasn't true.
That might be interesting.
Where do you think most of your genes come from?
Eddie Bauer.
All right, Eddie Bauer.
Shut up. Get out of here. You got to get a plug for that place all the time.
No. I think I am more like my dad than my mom.
Okay.
I do.
I would love to have a... I have a paternity test. Turn this into our Maury Povich show. I know your mom, who is Sharon, is really wonderful, and I would hate to piss her off because your mom has been so nice to me, especially after Frida passed away. Your mom has sent me letters and notes and junk like that. I would just ask your parents how they would feel about taking a blood test.
I'd be willing to right now guarantee that they are my parents, otherwise they might not have married so urgently. But let's not go down there.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was a little window.
All right.
That window, somebody just pulled up the shade just a wee bit there.
You know, just tell them. You know.
I will.
I mean, I'll give them a prize if you're not theirs.
We get tickets to the 9-inch nail?
To the 9-inch
nail. Hey, let's not be crazy.
Hey, well, to the 9-inch nails. Hang that shirt up.
We'll give them the Sopranos prize pack.
Well, that'd be nice.
That's nice.
That would be nice.
Okay. So, hi, everybody. Listen, this is the show, such as it is.
Maybe you're getting all worked up about this based on that storyline in The Sopranos, you know, with Paulie Walnuts, you know, when he finds out that his aunt, the nun, is really his mom.
Yeah, but that nothing beats the half a fat guy, though.
Your father looks nothing like you, Rob.
Nothing beats the half a fat guy.
He's the best. And he was the best in the episode last night.
When they go into the gay bar, and he's wearing the Village People outfit, and he walks out, and he makes out with that guy, and he says, "What do I got to do to get you out of here?"
Right.
Oh!
And they picked an ugly gay guy, too.
Just great. Really, you thought so?
Well, the guy with the pierced nipples?
You thought so? I thought he kind of looked like Bowder from Sean on Off.
Vito.
What was great is that his leather hat was a little too small.
But he was wearing
his classic leather hat.
Yeah.
Do they wear those in gay bars still? Is there the leather scene? I should ask Buzz. Yeah. Buzz, do they wear those?
I believe there's still a leather scene.
All right,
yes.
Very
there
good.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Buzz would know. The leather scene with Buzz Burbank.
With the chaps.
That's Buzz's weekend show. Welcome to the leather scene.
The leather scene.
Okay. Let me just go on this electronics store for one second.
All right.
Just, I got to get this out of my system. Here's the deal. My computer at home is a mess. Moves very slowly because every time my son comes home for a break or a holiday, he loads on 8,000 different things. I run these, you know, I'm like everybody. I get up and it's like, can't go to this page because there's a Trojan horse inside, and I can't even find the sites that I like to go to because it's so junked up and so slowed up with him. So finally, I research, and what I want to do, I know the computer that I want. I know all of the parts that I want. I go to the electronics store. Now, I could have got it online, but I check, and I see that they have it in stock.
Ah.
So I go to the store, and this is one of those stores when you walk in normally, they're on you like ants on ice cream on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, this is Saturday morning. I can't get one of these guys to come within 20 feet of me.
Right.
And the one guy that's standing by the computer section is talking to an old guy who wants to buy a monitor.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think that this guy seriously was going to buy the casket he was going to be buried in.
Mm-hmm.
But with his endless questions. Is 17 too small? Is 27 too big? What's the difference between this? What kind of offer do you make if I buy? And I'm just standing there the whole time, 1 inch away from this old guy. And finally, I got to look at Kumar, and that's the celebrity that this gentleman most resembles, Kumar from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, which is
homo.
That's where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got his eye, and I said, hey, hi there. When you're done with this guy, I know exactly what I want. And he said, I'll be right with you. So I thought, okay. I walked back over by my area. I don't know why it is when I go in and they have a thing that's set up as a package. It says right there in front, if you want to buy this computer, this is the best way to do it. It's just like online.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Here's the monitor. Here's the actual computer itself. This is all the video stuff that you need. This is all the audio stuff that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the printer. Here's the photo thing. Here's the scanner. Here's the wireless keyboard. Here's your wireless mouse.
Were you buying the whole package?
Yeah. Here's your new 5.1 surround sound. Everything for this. I know exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it listed as such, saying if you buy all of these components, just like in the ad, you pay this amount of money.
There you go.
So I said to the guy, I want this. And he said, do you think you really need everything there?
Oh, boy.
Now, this is just the beginning. I'm going to try to condense this.
Right there. There's the first rule of sales. Mm-hmm. Duh.
Mm-hmm. I go through this with the guy where finally I say to him, I want this computer. I want those speakers. I want that printer. All of them which are featured in this price. The only thing I'm going to need to buy is a USB cord. I said, I'll go get the USB cord for the printer, and then I'm set. I come back, and this is where the CF really begins. He's ringing me up, and he says to me, do you realize that if you sign up for our, let's call it a special customer zone, if you sign up for the special customer zone,
uh-huh.
Well, you'll get a gift card today because you're spending so much on this computer that you might get like a $20 gift card back today. All you got to do is fill this thing out. And I said, yeah, I'll pass.
I mean,
now,
that's the world of retail now, is that they want you to join their club.
Right. He says, Kumar says to me, and now this is where I get pissed off. He looks at me and he goes, well, I don't understand that. That's like free money. I said,
oh, so see, he's getting an incentive to
sell
you that, right?
No, he's not, and I'll tell you why in a moment.
Oh, really?
Because I'm standing there, and I said, really, I don't care if it comes with a brick of gold. I don't like signing up for all this extra stuff because you guys then send me email, and it's like, that's why when I come into this place, when you ask for my phone number, did you ever notice that, like, my phone number is the same as everybody else's that works where I work? Because we all give our work phone number when we go to this place instead of our home phone number. So, again, he's checking me out, then
And he's not checking me. I mean, he's ringing me up.
Well, you know.
The third time that he says to me, before he has me sign the little electronic thing,
uh-huh.
he says, you know, it's like with $20, you could go get a CD or something right now if you wanted. And I said, is Kumar, or whatever his name is, I said, can I please see a manager?
Oh.
I really need to see a manager.
Oh.
And he said, certainly. So the manager comes over, and I said, hi, listen, I hate to be a jerk, and I know that you're very crowded, and I'm just trying to buy. I would try explain to the manager, I said, I knew just what I wanted. I got to be your perfect customer. I'm not going to haggle about the price or about anything else. I know what I want.
Mm.
I just told him what I want, and now he's dicking me around about being this zone thing. And then the manager said, I want you to know he's not getting a commission on that. And then the manager picks up the receipt and says, but I can see why he's telling you. You know, this would really be a good deal for you. And I said, if one more person, I swear to Christ, I said,
there are people that don't want to buy those things. And there are many of us, and most of us are men.
Right? I said,
right.
If one more person asks me about getting like this $20 thing that I have to pay $10 for,
right.
I swear to God, I'm going to go to the other place and buy the computer. So the manager said, okay, well, we're very sorry. Thank you for coming in. Write him up. Now, I got the feeling that they gave each other a look like,
sure.
Okay, schmuck. You know, you go.
Yeah, bad manager.
You pass up that $20. Now, let's just move 5 minutes forward.
Right, it's over.
What I've done now is bought the computer. And while I'm waiting for him to go get it, I see that in this particular place, they have Geeks on Demand. You've heard of this service,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, you know, it'd be great. Do you offer something like where you could install the firewall that I want and put like the antivirus that I want and get the windows straightened out? And the guy said, yes, we offer this. And he said, we have all kinds of plans. So we and they got one like for $60
mm-hmm.
where they do all this crap that would take me all day to do.
Right.
So I said, great, I'll take it. He said, it'll be a couple extra hours to pick up the computer. I said, no problem. He said, he could not help himself. He said, all right, so that's $60. You know, I got to tell you again that now you're up over this certain amount of money.
Uh-huh.
That's another $10. And I said, ah! Ah! Really? I did just like that, like a bird. I went, ah! I told you! No! No, 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 no! No, 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 no. I just want... Thank you. Goodbye. Now, it's 3 hours later, not two, I go back to the same place.
Okay.
To pick up the computer.
Excellent.
I get in line where you pick up your stuff. I wait. By the time I get to the front of the line, the guy says, excuse me, you're in the wrong line. You have to go to the Geeks on Demand line. Because
yeah.
I said, well, I didn't know. He said, well, they're the ones fixing the computer. So
retail.
I go get in this line. Now, here's the problem with the Geeks on Demand line. The people that work at this part of the store, it is absolutely truth in advertising. They're not lying. They're geeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're nerds.
Mm-hmm.
There's three of them that are working at the counter, and here's what's happening. They're each having a conversation with somebody who looks like our former engineer, Daryl Nichols, which is to say, kind of nerdy.
Right.
Now, here's the conversation. So, when you double-click, what option comes down? And then the guy standing there, the guy on the other side of the counter goes, well, the menu doesn't come down generally. I push F3 and nothing happens. And I realize that these are people that are like, they're some kind of therapy. They're talking.
They love to chat about it.
They're working on
it. He really doesn't have anything wrong with his computer. He's just coming in to chat.
So what I do then is...
Social club.
Because it's driving me freaking nuts. And I'm standing there with a receipt. And I've paid. And I've done everything. And they've bugged me about the goddamn zone. So finally I kind of cut in line. And I said to the woman that was standing in my life, I said, excuse me, ma'am, for just a moment. It seems to me you're having kind of a discussion about how your laptop runs. Would you be, I went through this whole thing, you know, I would, if you'd allow me to impose just a pickup. My stuff is here. It's ready. Right. She said, sure, no problem.
That's nice of her.
I give it to the guy. The guy leaves. He goes to the back, comes back, and he says, what time did they tell you this would be ready? I said, they said 2 hours, I'm here in three. He said, I'm going to have to go back and check. It doesn't look like it's ready yet. And now at this point, when he leaves, the troll that's standing next to me, the woman that had been very nice, turns into a monster.
Mm.
Because she says, well, now he's gone. He's gone.
You're just picking stuff up in the boxes. Or are they putting stuff together?
No. They've already installed all this stuff.
They're installing the software for you.
Right. Yes, but all they're going to do then is put it back in the box and just put it into the big, gigantic cart that I push out and go to my car with.
Right.
So now the people, the geeks that are there to see the geeks on demand, they're mad because the guy comes out and my stuff's not ready yet, but he says, give us about 10 minutes. And I said, okay, no problem. And I walk around and I get it. And then as I'm leaving, I say to him, is there anything else that I need? Because this has not necessarily been the best experience that I've had. Now, keep in mind, Kumar is still there. It's like 4 hours later, and he's still there, and he is giving me the hairiest eyeball.
Sure, you didn't buy the plan.
I swear to God, this guy looks like one of the 9/11 terrorists over there, and I might as well be the World Trade Center. He's just looking at me like, oh, there's the man. He did not want the reward. Yeah, look at him. I had his computer. He wants to buy his computer, and it's not ready, and he got me in trouble with the boss. So I say, okay, I walk around, and I walk past him. I say, how you doing? He says, are you all set? I said, got about 10 minutes, should be set. Thank you for all your help. And then as I walked away, he said, you know. And I said, huh, you know, I know, you know, hey, hey, hey. And then I swear on Frida's life, he said to me, you know, if you come over right now for only $10, I will give you the zone. You have time in the store. The USB cord that you bought today, you could pay for that now. You paid $29 for it. And finally, I gave in. I said, oh, okay, you win.
No.
But hold on. You'll be glad to know I backed out as soon as I walked over by his workstation, and he pulled out a book about this thing. And he said, all right, now let's see. As soon as he opened it up, and I saw that there were going to be pages of information I had to fill out,
right.
I said, you know what?
See ya.
I'm going to pass.
Good.
I'm sorry to jerk your chain on this. I know you think I'm an idiot because I'm passing up $20 or $30 of the valuable merchandise. Whatever. I go back to the other thing. Everybody in the store thinks I'm a dick. The thing is finally ready. They finally announce it's ready. I put it in the cart. I get it home. I spend all day. I'm not good with computers, but I spend all day getting the thing going. Then I'm to the point where I'm trying to get, like, Microsoft Word.
Right.
And it says, you must enter a 25-digit number.
Product registration. Which is on the back, your computer.
On the back of the computer.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, anybody that's ever done this knows that the printing is, like, Stuart Little size.
The numbers that they put on the computer identity, the product registration number that they put on the back of a computer, you practically need a magnifying glass.
Oh, well, Mike, I was on my knees with a gigantic flashlight and
ridiculous.
And my old man glasses and a magnifying glass, looking at the sticker, trying to figure out if it's a 6 or a G. So anyway, I think I finally have got the number.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at this thing for over an hour.
Right.
And every time that I'm entering in the computer, it keeps coming back as the product code you've listed is not good. Now, I'm looking on the bottom of this thing, and I'm like, it's a GY6? By now, it's almost like a song that I know in my head, you know,
right.
GY6. Y25 FRE ba 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 ba.
It's code.
So what I do is I get on the thing, get online, says help. Go to Microsoft for help.
Ah.
Go for help. Woman says, okay, here's what I believe happened. She says, I see where you bought your computer, and apparently what happened was they put the wrong sticker on the back of your computer. She said, this was on Sunday, yesterday. She said, you have two options.
Oh,
you can either wait until Monday and call someone here at Microsoft, and if we after we go through a problem, we can work you through this and email it to you. Mm-hmm. But if you really want it today, I would advise you to go back to the place where you bought it.
Oh, find the wrong number that's floating around there?
So I said, okay, thanks. I'll do that. And I went back to the place. And Kumar was there.
Sure.
And he was delighted to put it into words would be impossible because he had to keep it in his pants.
If you'd been a member of our club, you would get that service for free.
He was de-effing lighted to see me standing in line. He came over and he said, "How are you? Did you forget something? Can I help you with something?" That was his come on. I said,
"Take a look who's coming in now. It's Mister. He didn't want to join the Frequent Shopper Club."
I said, "No, it's the numbers. It's the small numbers. That somebody put the wrong sticker on." And he said, "Well, I..." Effers. You're all effers. You're pig effers.
You know why your computer did not work? That is your bad karma for not buying the club from me.
Yeah. So wait for the geek. Wait while they verify that it's me. Do all that crap. Mm-hmm. Then they give me the numbers. Anyway, they could not have made it a worse experience.
We are not concerned about selling you the products. We are concerned about making sure that we get our hooks into you and that we become indispensable to you.
Now, this was just the beginning of a perfect day because as I left this place, I finally have the computer. This was before I had to get the number and everything.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I'm leaving the place now. I've got the computer on Saturday. I'm driving home. Well, guess who gets a flat tire? I do.
Oh, no.
Again?
Yeah. What do you mean again?
I thought you had one the other day.
Yeah, well, that one was fixed.
I said again.
Yeah, so again, right.
Same car?
Same car.
Oh, boy. Mm.
So I get a flat, and I'm on the side of the road, Reston Parkway, pretty major road, but I think, well, what the hell? I'll get out the jack and change it myself. You know, I've done this before. Of course, because I'm just a spaz, it's got a special spot. The SUV does underneath the right hand side where there's some kind of spot that's been perfectly made for the jack to fit up into it. Mm-hmm. There's like a grid in there and
carved in there for your convenience.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, what do you got here?
All this pass.
Tiger yesterday.
Oh,
all this pass.
Oh, there's Tiger Woods. Yeah, him and me both. I was a spaz.
All this pass.
So, what I do is because I'm in a rush, I don't bother to look at the book. Now, I know that I've changed tires in this vehicle before, and I know that you have to put the jack in exactly the right place where there are the grooves, and the car goes up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What I did, because it's half after, people driving by going 50 miles an hour, and I'm laying on the side of the road, I put it underneath, and I do and the car is going up, and all of a sudden, car goes down.
Oh, so you didn't put it in the special slot.
Car goes down, jack broken.
Oh.
I mean, seriously, think about what an idiot, dumb, white trash, ignoramus, moron I am that you could not, if you tried to, take a General Motors jack that comes standard with an SUV.
Right.
I don't care what brand you buy, it's really all the same car, just with different shells, but the parts that you get are the same. I defy you to go out and get yourself like a nice big instrument that you could beat the hell out of the jack with.
Mm-hmm.
You could not break it.
Not with a sledgehammer.
That's the word I was trying to avoid.
Oh, you said...
I was trying to avoid using the H word. I was going to say malice. Now, don't be... What are you looking at him for?
Yeah.
Just to give him that look I just gave him. It was this look. It was for both of you?
Yeah.
Both of you. What are you going to do?
What are you looking at?
That's my look at Buzz when I acknowledge both of your obsessive compulsive disorders.
Well, you know the rules.
Don't say the word.
I know, and I slip a lot. You know what? Because I don't obsess on it.
Don't you feel better now?
No.
Anyway, I defy you. Take the instrument that Mike said.
The sledge thing. Yes.
And you couldn't break it. Well, what I did, because I put it in the wrong groove, was I actually did break the jack.
Wow.
I mean, the metal part of the jack
physically snapped. Like a toy.
And that
probably was, because the main reason was because you didn't put it where it was supposed to go.
Of course, because I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So now at this time, I have to call the roadside service.
Yes.
Which is where you feel like the pussy of pussies, because it's like,
check my car for me.
Hi there, I've got a flat tire.
But don't they have the real good jack? Don't they have the kind of, you know, with the little crank, the
guy
big long
shows
one.
Up with this thing that it's like,
I'd love to have one of those. I mean, if I was doing a lot of work on my car, I'd get that thing, that orange thing, you know, that, that's got the little plate on it.
Oh, you know, as long as I'm on the topic of my car, could I mention also OnStar? And I know that they're a sponsor. I'm going to mention them by name because I like OnStar.
Yes.
I've had them in my car. They're beautiful.
Right.
I want to tell you why you're pissing me off. Saturday night, we're in the car. We're going downtown to see Caliendo.
Mm-hmm.
D.C., even though I've lived here all my life, you know, you get downtown by that American Express building, and it's like you're on Connecticut Avenue, then you're on L Street.
It's
then it's
crazy.
Like, where are exactly where are you?
Mm-hmm.
So I pushed OnStar. Because I said to her, she said, just use the navigation system. I said, no, let me show off. OnStar. So I push the thing, and they go, it goes, boom, 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 OnStar. And the woman says, can I help you? And I tell her I'm trying to find this location. I'm very close. Mm-hmm. And what she did was start to try to sell me stuff. She said, okay, while I get your location, have you gotten your welcome to OnStar call yet? I noticed that this is a 2005 vehicle. I said, can you please just tell me where I want to go?
Uh-huh.
Please. And she seemed a bit put off by that.
Huh.
And then we lost the connection because I got mad and hung up.
Oh,
and I said,
that'll do it.
Said to my friend, I said, you know what we'll do? We'll call back and we'll get somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. You know, she's saying, like, why don't we just stop at a hotel like, and ask one of these doormen where the hell this place is?
Right.
And I said, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm a man. I'm not going to stop and ask.
It's a hidden location you're going to.
That is a tricky
location. It really is.
So,
you don't see, like, people standing out in front of that joint. You're not going to find it.
But I call OnStar again, and she says, hi there. And I tell her where I'm at. And I say, I'm at 25th and L. I need to be on Connecticut Avenue. I'm going around and around in a circle. She says, okay, I'd be glad to help you. I see you. She says, have you thought about upgrading your plan of minutes with your OnStar personal call? And I said, because I had just had my fill of this crap with people, I unloaded on this OnStar lady. I said, I swear to God, screaming at her in the car. I said, listen, I just had a day where I want to buy something, they want to sell me something. When I push this button, I want you to tell me how to get somewhere. Don't try to sell me anything else. Don't try. I said, I worked at Burger Chef when I was a kid. I swear to God, I worked at Burger Chef. I understood the rule. Somebody comes in line, you try to sell them two extra things.
The concept is called upselling.
I said, stop it. I don't want this to happen.
The world has turned into upselling.
That is a totally side issue.
We enjoyed it, though.
Because we're going to get back to the car. Because the guy shows up, and the car is messed up, and the jack is broken, and I'm standing on the side of the road.
You got your computer in the back of the car?
Yeah. Like an idiot. And I said to him, when he finally got the jack and got the spare out, and he was doing everything, I'm just standing there, and he said, I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, there appears to be a hole in your rim. I said, how would that happen? And he said, look me right in the eye. The guy down on his knees changing my tire. Probably poor driving.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, hey, this is my weekend. Just have everybody that I'm going to come in contact with just tell me to F off.
No mincing. But if you'd like to pay a little extra for the roadside service, we'll teach you how to drive by going to our wonderful Friends of the Road Club driving school with Kumar.
Absolutely. So anyway, just screw that. Screw everything. Screw everybody.
Wow. Everybody wants you to, you know, it's not good enough to go in and buy stuff in a retail outlet. You got to be part of their favorite shopper.
But I did get a lot of the good stuff as well. I'd like to tell you about over the weekend. Like my kid, Bart, who's now 21 and old enough to
21.
Drink and gamble legally.
Right.
Who knew this? That somewhere in the Carolinas, there are engines, and they've opened a Harrah's.
Oh, wonderful.
So
that's
called,
delightful. An Indian casino.
I think I mentioned late in the show on Friday, he called, and he left word during the commercials where I could reach him that he, with his friends, had gone to Harrah's.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke to him Friday night, and he was telling me about he'd been gambling. And, you know, and for him, he's just turned 21, and it's still a big deal. He goes somewhere, he doesn't get carded, and he can gamble. He called me Saturday morning, and he said, hey, Dad, you know, whenever I lost $60, we had a great time. I am driving without my shirt on right now. I said, well, all right, well, good for you. How is the weather? He said, well, the weather's okay. The problem is, hold on a second, Dad. I'm like, what? And then I hear him say,
Do you have to throw up again? Not in the car.
Oh, no.
Do it outside. Oh. Do it outside.
Yeah.
So he's like,
do it outside. Do it outside.
Hello, Dad. I said, what's happening there? And he said, Rusty's puking again.
Oh, no.
I said, and you're telling me that because he said, well, that's why I don't have a shirt on, is that he threw up on my shirt.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
So they're on the way.
It's like Tony Soprano.
They're on the way back from the casino. And
so I guess someone had a little too much fun at the casino.
And blah.
Yeah.
So, he was.
You know, they give you those drinks for free.
He was all happy. Sure. Now, I had that discussion with him, too.
Right.
He said, Dad. I said, how much did you lose? He said, between $40 and $60. But I got a couple of free drinks. I said, come on, define free.
That's the way it goes.
So then, just with everything else that's going wrong for me this weekend with these devices, the things that are made to make my life easier,
right.
And I'm not even going to get into how effed up my television set is.
Yeah, I know. You said that at the beginning of the show.
Now, Buzz,
permanent damage.
You will attest to that, right?
Yeah, permanent damage.
You'll attest to that.
Yeah, anybody knows that, I don't want to say anything either.
The other night, it was last night, I guess, the night before. Regardless, the temperatures in the overnight hours have been getting down into the teens here in the D.C. area, in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you know, it was just two nights ago that my entire heating and air conditioning system just went teats up. So that's another
top of the world, Dave.
Another great thing I got on my list that I had waited for them to come out and finally I found out they're going to come out today while I was here at work.
That's nice.
So today the gypsies are cleaning the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to say to them before I leave the house that El Mano is coming to fix El Hito. Now, I swear to God, this woman who is Portuguese does not speak one lick of English. So I'm leaving my house today, and I'm saying, now, it's going to be a man coming. And it's like when I'm talking to my dog. She must just be hearing. So here's what I do. I take her over to the corner, and I show her the thermostat.
It would be the same as if you were hearing her speak her native tongue.
Yeah.
She hears what you hear, which is just gobbledygook.
However, if someone brought me over to the corner and showed me the thermostat and said, Broco, I think I might have figured out, which is what I said. I said, El Broco. And she looked at me, she's like, hey.
El Broco.
So I said, hold on, come downstairs with me.
That's the Portuguese version of Deal or No Deal.
So now she follows me downstairs. And what I do is I pull out an invoice from the place that's coming to fix the furnace.
Yes, because if you can't speak English, you can certainly read it.
Well, what I do is I show her the logo for the place. Uh-huh. It's like, whatever it is for the Fast Fix a Plumber, right?
Well, there are only certain logos that will be recognized.
So
the Walt Disney Company.
The Golden Arches.
The Golden Arches. Coca-Cola is another big one. That's it.
Oh,
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
And the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Of course. So, what I do is I take the logo and I circle it, and I say, right here, these are the people coming. And she goes, oh! I say, they're coming today to El Fixo. Cool. Cold. She goes, yeah.
Sure.
So right before we went on the air, I called my machine at home, and there was the people from the company, and they said, hi, we're at your house, but whoever's in there won't let us in.
Oh, no.
So I'll figure out what's going on here.
She didn't understand you, though.
I don't think, it just, things are really not, this is not like the best weekend I ever had that's rolling into a Monday.
McKenna. The minute you left, she turned to her friend and said, don't let that cleaning guy in, the fixer guy. We won't. That'll show him. That'll show him. That's perfect.
No, I don't know.
I said every word.
I called the dispatcher, I guess it was, for the service right before he went on the air. And he said,
El dispatcher.
He thought the guy was at my house trying to get into my house right now.
Did the dispatcher say, would you like to join our frequent service club?
Thank God he didn't, Mike.
Our frequent flushers?
Thank God.
You know, when you tell that story, I so empathize with you. Got it just at the bookstore the other day.
Yeah.
And I will not do it at the bookstore.
No,
just, and they, I know, get some kind of incentive because they're a hard sell with that.
Well, my main point was the guy was looking at me like I'm some kind of idiot, like, you know, hey, dude, you're looking up at the possibility of maybe
that's their whole thing.
You know, maybe getting a free CD. It's like, you know,
sure.
I would buy you 10 CDs if you just sell me what I want to buy. And let me get the frig out of your goddamn store, all of you with your matching pants and shirts driving me crazy.
They don't understand that especially guys,
right?
Especially guys on the weekend, will want to get in, get out. And you don't want to do extra paperwork.
One last thing, after I've been dicked around by this store all day on Saturday, I really appreciate when I'm leaving the fact that you have to stop and you have to look at every single item in my gigantic, oversized Land of the Giants cart. Because that's right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come in the store and I'm going to get items that these guys have to go up on those giant librarian-like ladders to get that weigh 8,000 pounds. I'm going to get those off the shelves by myself, get myself one of these big carts, and then I'm just going to try to walk out the front door and steal it.
Well, all of these companies have studied Costco, the Costco, successful Costco model, and they wanted to take at that particular store the most inconvenient aspect of Costco and turn it over to you at their store.
It's
theft prevention, another huge thing in the world of retail.
I know I'm bitching, but I've had up to here with these efforts. It's
we get it.
All day there. And all I wanted to do, you know what I should have done? What I should have done in the first place, the way that I live my life now, just buy everything on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why go to the freaking store?
I know why you did, though, because you could have the stuff that day. And I do that, too, when I should order it on the internet.
Yeah, and it really worked out for me, Buzz.
Yeah, I know.
Really worked out.
Well, what you want to do is you want to get your little D-beaters on the equipment. You want to touch it. You want to see what it looks like. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's why I go.
Hey,
don't you really? I mean, the internet's one thing, but the internet is a waiting game and also never really seeing what it is.
Yeah.
Even though it works most of the time. Mm-hmm. You can look at the picture and it's pretty successful. But the whole retail experience, they don't get it.
So it's like I'm on the way out. I got the big, gigantic, I'm really like Land of the Giants, like a Home Depot type. That's how big this thing is I'm pushing out. And the guy wants to stop and look at every goddamn item. You know, some rent-a-cop wearing his bad Miami Vice outfit, wearing his bling. Some guy who looks like he should be a bouncer from Mariah Carey. And I got to have this pig effer stand at the corner of this place and look at my receipt like I'm going to steal all this stuff.
The only time I ever did is when I was buying some things that I really needed, and they talked me into it. And I thought it was, and I've gotten discounts ever since. It's really, really a good club. Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, there you go. That's,
I get all my lingerie, and I'm there frequently.
You're right.
Lingerie 30% off.
Nothing feels better against your skin.
And the guys that do the receipt check at Costco, they're the smartest ones, aren't they? You can never get anything by them.
They're the bouncers.
When they look at it and draw a smiley face.
They're the Costco bouncers. And you think they're really... Now, somebody tells me that if they catch something, they get rewarded for it.
Well, that's...
They get rewarded for it.
Probably
right. But I still don't think that. I think that's the biggest fake it job in the world.
That's what this guy was doing. This guy was like looking at my receipt and looking at every box. And I'm like, hey, douche. What do you think? What do you think I'm, Al Capone? That I'm here to rip you off? Please, look, I got a receipt.
So what are you going
to
do at Costco? You're going to take toilet paper, paper towels, and like cover up what? Tires?
Haven't you seen
me? What are you going to try to walk out of there with?
Hey, there's no diamonds on this receipt.
Listen, Chewy, haven't you seen me in here in the 8 hours that I've already been here today yelling at your friend Kumar and the geeks on demand? Other than that, it was a fantastic weekend.
Underneath my toilet paper, I have 15 pounds of crab legs.
When we come back, Frank Caliendo, who was on this show last week.
I have heard more stuff about this weekend of shows.
Yeah.
I heard the good report that it was very, very funny, and then I heard the controversy report from John Norman. I guess Buzz was there.
And Buzz, two separate accounts of a very funny show.
Yeah.
By our friend Frank.
Right.
So we'll tell you what happened. And maybe at some point you'll open up, friend. And
I will. I've got some things to
tell us exactly what led you to where you are.
My problem, you know, as usual, whenever we come in here on the weekend, is always those tricky memory issues. But I really did meet some fine people. Almost at the game.
You know what you are? You're funny.
Almost.
You're funny.
Almost an embarrassing Red Sox turnout.
Just,
There's so many Red Sox fans that go to Camden Yards.
I have memory issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I met some fine people.
I did. The people, like, right at the beginning of the game, before the game, during the rain delay, just guys, gals, everybody. Just everybody having a really, really good time. Had a Yankee fan, an Oriole fan, and a Red Sox fan that I was chatting with.
Wow.
And then some people from where I live up in Maine that were in back of me.
I had
Ellsworth, Maine. I remember fun. I block out everything else. I remember the fun things.
We had some guy at our table at the Frank Caliendo show.
Right.
Really, a celebrity he most resembled, Barry Manilow.
Hey!
A cross between David Paymer and Barry Manilow. If you could imagine, a taller David Paymer, but like with Barry Manilow's face and nose. And this guy sits down and thinks that he's at like a class reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't know that I'm the ass of the asses, that I've had the day of days. And I'm just sitting there with her, and he turns and goes, "Are you Frank fans?" And I looked at him and I said, "Who's Frank?"
That's the way you answer that.
Yeah, and then for the very first time, I know I'm getting familiar with this woman. I get the look from her, like, you know, it's like, hey, she's very smart, very very pretty, very. She's giving me a nice smile, but the smile's like, why are you being such a dick to this guy? You
know, you've had too much day.
Too much.
Yeah. I do remember the good times. I'll be able to work something up for you, but you know, in my estimation, you take 40 degrees, which is not the temperature baseball should really be played at, and then you take a 2-hour rain delay.
Bingo.
And shake them all up together, and it ends up fun.
You get fuzzy memories.
Fun, 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 fun.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
And I dig that about you. No contract? I help everybody. That's my man.
Hey, I'm happy to entertain you.
Help me! Help me!
I'll see you in Los Angeles.
Jerry, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Hey, see, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
The Don and Mike Show.
I am out here for you. You don't know what it's like to be me out here for you. It is an up at dawn, pride swallowing siege that I will never fully tell you about, okay?
Okay.
Pigs love mud, and you love Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Speak to us. It's you, caller.
All right, well.
Bye!
Oh, caller.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, it's John from Baltimore.
Hi there, Johnny.
I'm doing great. I was wondering, since Mike's had such a great time up here at Camden Yards, could you find it time to play the Earl Weaver tape today?
Didn't we just play that, like, last week, the one about the lady from Norfolk with her...
You played that one. You didn't play my favorite. My favorite's the one with... where I think it might be a World Series. Where it's Earl...
Where you can hear the organ in the background.
Yeah, and he gets thrown out of the game, and you know, you're here for one reason and one reason only, to hurt us.
Yeah.
And he gets thrown out after that, and you hear that. There's another one, I think, the organ playing is Tommy Lasorda.
That's, you know...
When Tommy Lasorda just, I mean, every other word.
Maybe tomorrow, right at the beginning of the show, we'll string together a bunch of baseball tapes.
Or maybe William hung up and take me out to the ball game.
Is he? Have we ever played that on this show?
Bye.
I don't know.
He's got ideas.
I don't know if we have or not. Listen, Frank Caliendo.
Yes,
was on the show last week. Mm-hmm. Killed. Frank is so incredibly funny.
Great.
Master mimic, really he is. And you know, he does a lot of stuff. I like it when we have him on the show that we don't make him like dance monkey dance for us.
Right, right. It's tough to do that with comedians anyway. It's more fun just to sort of shoot the breeze.
And I know that from speaking to Frank off the air, he would rather just come in and do some of his bits, but not come in and do the show that he does.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of stuff like he does. One of his more obscure ones that kills me, he's never done it on our show, is the voice of Super Friends, if you remember that. You know, Aquaman and Batman. I mean, he had some killer stuff at the show. We went on Saturday night and thought Frank was friggin' on fire. The guy in the middle, the comedian in the middle, who incidentally in real life was the gimp in Pulp Fiction.
Scott Long.
You mean the guy we never see?
Yes.
Right. Wow.
He's a stand-up comedian. I met him after the show. Uh-huh. He said that he was a fan of our show, that he listened to us in Indianapolis.
It just, you know, when you're saying that and just thinking along the lines of comedians, I would think that's what anybody would say, that whether they were in a TV show.
We could all say
it, that. You don't think he was saying it for a laugh, right?
No. Frank told me after the show it was serious.
He was the
he was the gimp in Pulp Fiction. Anyway, he...
quite a bleep in his cave.
Nice acting job.
He used to listen to us in Indianapolis.
Right.
And that's one of the stations way back in the day. We got pissed off and they... We fired ourselves. We said we canceled the show. And I said to him, oh, come on, you didn't really listen. And he said, no, it was weird because the show was on like for 2 hours and then they played an hour from the day before.
Right.
So I knew the guy was really a listener. Mm-hmm. And Frank couldn't have been nicer and hooked me up with nice seats and we saw him. And I didn't even mention what Buzz had told me had happened the night before.
I guess there was controversy.
What I and others had witnessed, and if any of our listeners, I met a nice couple, John and Andrea. There were other people there too. Who
you ever notice how Buzz always meets couples?
Yes.
Well, what he does
good
is
to know.
He's out there planting a seed.
The one word that I would use would be predator.
Trolling.
He finds couples. He zeroes in on couples. Buzz, you were probably there, an hour and a half before the show, just waiting for the couples to arrive? Uh-huh. Then you pick your seat where you're going to sit down.
I spot them out front. And,
there they are, Marcia.
And move
let's,
in.
Let's sit down next to them.
And but we had a number of listeners there at that the late show on Friday, the one that starts at 10:30. And just a terrible thing happened to Frank during the course of his performance. Frank did not bomb. Frank was good. Frank was funny. He did all the stuff Don was just talking about. And under the circumstances, did the best, I think, just about any human could do. But the difference is, Frank has such a non-offensive, sweet, lovable act that it would be hard for anybody to, it would be hard to imagine anybody heckling him.
I mean, he doesn't
So he get, but comedians, especially with the late show, get hecklers.
Yeah. Frank doesn't even cuss. Like, the guys that came out before him, they dropped the F-bomb and everything. Mm-hmm. I think he maybe said ass, like, one time. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he works pretty clean. Right. And he was doing a lot of this. It was the same show, so it's got to be where he's doing the part you're going to talk about here. He's ragging on Bush. He's doing the whole thing about Bush always looks like he's staring into the sun and, and how happy he is when he gets something right.
Right.
And also how he nods his head all the time. It looks like a chicken.
He had talked about John Madden, of course. And by the way, he didn't do many in the show I saw. He didn't do many Madden to Bush transitions like we talked about that he did on the show. But he had done some Madden, and now he was at a point in the show, about a third of the way in, where he was alternating voices back and forth between Clinton and Bush. He was making fun of both of them in a lighthearted way, the way that we expect them to be made fun of. And it was very funny. It was going along very well. And then in the middle of that back and forth between Clinton and Bush, a guy in a red golf shirt in the audience stands up and says, Frank, you're a moron, and walks out.
Wow.
And brought the place to a dead silence for just a moment. Frank was stunned. I mean, he has a non-offensive act, and what he was doing...
Did the guy appear to be drunk?
No. Appeared to be very sober, in my estimation.
Why do you think the guy did that?
Why are, Mike?
It's a mystery.
Young Republican.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think that's it. That's the only thing I can guess, although, like I said, he was making fun of Clinton Bush equally.
Right, so hold on a second. So some guy, a heckler, I'm guessing Frank is not used to this, stands up and says, you're a moron.
Frank, you're a moron.
And now
and how walks out, storms out.
All right, how did Frank handle it?
Frank didn't see the guy leave because of the lights, the stage lights in Frank's eyes, and he started to engage the guy in conversation, and finally the audience, pretty much in unison, said, he left.
Oh, God.
And Frank said...
So how long did he try to get the guy in conversation?
He said well, not very long. Just he tried to ask one or two questions. I don't even remember what they were because everybody was stunned at that point, including Frank.
Stunned?
And because, I mean, we just...
I mean, like, silent?
Yeah, well, just for a brief moment. I mean, Frank started trying to ask this guy questions.
I always think of Sam Kinison in those situations with that great rebuttal to a heckler.
Sam had a meaner act.
Well, that's what your mom had to say.
Right.
Yeah, well, anyway.
This isn't like Frank. And so Frank said, well, who was that guy? And somebody in the audience, sarcastically, I think, everybody was on Frank's side. Somebody said, a patriot. And Frank said, what, he plays for New England? Which was the best comeback anybody could do in that circumstance. But here's the thing. It troubled Frank, apparently, for the rest of the performance.
Oh.
And so he would be going along, he'd be trying to do it, and then he would break into his maddened voice and say, here's a guy who clearly doesn't remember the rest of his act.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so he was just being too hard on himself. He was doing fine.
So it threw him, huh?
Yeah,
because he is, I mean, knowing when he was in here the other day, he is a nice guy.
Very
and that
nice.
Is really what
and
he's
he is,
about.
Yeah. Like all of us, he's insecure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
So Buzz calls me on Saturday. And to say, I want to hit you to something that happened. I know you're going to go see Caliendo tonight.
Thought he would talk about it. Man.
He thought he would talk about it.
Yeah.
So he didn't mention it. And when I went, he slayed. I mean, he did stuff I hadn't heard before. Mm-hmm. I was really, literally pounding the wall next to me at one point. And here's how I know that what Buzz is saying is true. After the show, I'm in line to take a leak. That's always wonderful.
Yes.
And why is it, when I go to a place like the Improv, well, hell, it doesn't matter where, but in this case, the Improv,
right.
There are three urinals. One of them's got a toilet bag over it, meaning it's
broken.
You know, out of commission.
Yeah.
So you got two urinals, and then you got the sit-down. When it's my turn, after waiting in line for 15 minutes, guess what's there? The sit-down.
Yeah.
And guess what's in the sit-down? Well, what's in the sit-down is all the stuff that guys have left all night, which is just kind of never going to go. Everybody's afraid to flush it.
So in other words, they should have had a bag over that, too.
Everybody's afraid to flush it. So it's like I'm waiting and waiting. And by the time I open the door, I walk into the sit-down, and I go, oh, I can't, anybody else want to go here? You know, I said, really, I'll wait for a urinal. And so you had like four or five guys that were all coming in and going, eh. So
yeah.
This slowed me down even more.
Right.
So here's my point on this. I leave the bathroom, I come out, and Adrian is standing there, and she's talking to the very first comedian, a guy who's a local guy. And I walk right up.
Did you go to the early or the late?
Early show, 8 o'clock show. So they're hustling everybody out, and I wanted to say hi to Frank, and not be like an ass kiss, but tell him just really how he just slayed me. So I walk up to her and I say, hey, come on. I say something to this guy like, hey, you know, get your hands off her. Okay, come on. She's me. Let's go. I said, let's get out of here. So I take her by the arm and I go, let's go say hi to Frank and get the frig out of here. And she said, you know that thing that you were telling me about Buzz? They said about the show? This guy just told her the exact same. This guy said to her, boy, it's a good thing you guys weren't here last night. That last night there was a guy that stood up and threw Frank off so badly, he said it was the worst show he's ever done. Now, this guy said this to my friend,
right,
unsolicited. See, I had told her the stuff that Buzz had told me to say, let's watch and see how Frank's performance is.
Yeah, if he refers to it.
Well, as it turns out, he killed, he slayed.
Yeah.
There was no mention of it, but this other guy said something, and obviously it had made
you
an impression.
You saw the guy walk out. Did the guy seem visibly angry?
No. I mean, it was weird. The guy just simply, with his red golf shirt, just stood up, said, Frank, you're a moron, said it just like that, and walked out. And that was it.
Wow.
You know, and it wasn't even clear to the audience what he was talking about. Our only guess was he was offended by the Bush part of the Bush-Clinton tirade.
You know, hecklers are hecklers, and they're usually trying to be funny themselves. They're not standing up and saying,
making a political statement,
and this
and
guy
then
was
walking out.
This guy was angry and hurt.
And with Frank, with no offense to Frank.
Mm-hmm.
He's not exactly Chris Rock when it comes to his choice of material.
But the guy has done stand-up everywhere, and I would think that, you know, most of these guys have kind of a pat thing, and it's what you do is you handle the heckler.
Right.
If a guy gets up and throws a bombshell like that and then walks out, it might be
Frank
a little more
awkward.
Frank
wanted to do that, but the guy was gone like that in an instant, and so Frank never got the satisfaction, and maybe that's what bothered him.
Now, you heckled him at your show that you were at, right? You
Frank
heckled him
did.
Most of the night.
You suck! Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, the guy that was in front of me at the Frank Caliendo show to get the CD signed, I was there Friday night for the late show also.
Mm-hmm.
He actually admitted to being that guy's friend, the guy who said, Frank, you're a moron.
Yeah? What'd you learn?
I was trying to hear anything. The guy, because Frank said, hey, what's your friend's problem? I have no idea. He was having a great time.
Wait a minute, he's your friend?
No.
The guy in front of me.
The guy in front of you.
Yes. Frank was hilarious. He was great.
Mm-hmm. Without busting Frank's chops, did you think like these other people did that it threw him off?
A little bit, but I think he recovered pretty good. Once he got back into the swing of things, it was hysterical. And it was,
yes.
We had great seats. Would have loved to have seen you there, Buzz, but we didn't get to look around.
Sorry, I missed you.
Were you there with a woman? Were you there as a couple?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, but you missed Buzz's table then.
Wow. More cleavage next time.
Thank you. Because
Buzz apparently took 8 or 9 more couples back to his car.
I had room for more.
I loved it. Actually, I have to thank the people at the Improv. I felt like such a dick. You know how we kidded on the air?
Right.
Like they would give me the Goodfellas treatment. Now, you know in Goodfellas when Ray Liotta and Tony Soprano's psychiatrist, when they go to the Copa,
right,
what they do is they bring a table right down front.
Put it right down front with a linen tablecloth.
Push people out of the way. We showed up, and the guy says, "Where would you like to sit?" And I said, "Well, you know, somewhere close, but I don't want to be obnoxious." So, I mean, we were directly, there was not a table there at the time. They moved a bunch of people around and put a little table right at the corner of the stage. Mm-hmm. And what was so great was it was almost like Frank could do a show for me. I know that he looked over and he told me after the show. He said, "I saw you over there." He said, "I did some lines just for you. Did you catch what?" And I said, "Listen, I almost peed my pants there. I mean,
right?
You're killing me all the time." But it was so great because at one point he was laying on the floor, laying on his back, and he had his hand up in the air and he was doing a Kermit the Frog thing, and he just rolled around and ended up on his belly, and he was looking right at me. Now, he's still got the microphone in his hand, and he's just looking right at me, and he's got his hands are holding his face like this. And out of the blue, he just goes, "So this guy says, hey, how are you?" Like that. Didn't like to say my name or anything,
right,
but
right.
Very nice.
But acknowledge you that way.
Oh,
yeah.
Just cracked my ass up and just... so funny.
He stayed funny all the way through the show that I saw, but he kept bringing up the fact that he was thrown by
the one thing that surprised me about Frank, and I guess some people at this place are telling me that it's a sign that you are the headliner, was, and I said this to him, I said, "God, what are you doing back here, like, whoring out your stuff after the show?" Because on a table in between shows, Frank comes out and sells CDs and DVDs and sells them himself. And I was standing there and I said, like, "Who makes change?" And he said, "Oh, I do." Like it was no big deal.
That's the road.
And
that's life on the road.
And I said to somebody, I said, "Gosh, in some ways, you know, I must feel bad for it." And the person said, no. They'd all love to be standing there at a table selling their stuff.
Yeah. Right.
That only the headliner gets to...
The headliners get to sell their own CDs.
Right. But the thing about Caliendo that's funny is that he just turned right around. I was busting his balls. And, you know, he's got that cherubic face.
Yeah, right.
But he just
right.
turned around and looked at me very straight, and he said, "I'm just whoring myself out." He said, "I have no problem taking people's money. I sell 1 for $15 and 2 for $20.
Right.
I make a lot of money. Excuse me, I got to make some more change."
You just don't expect to see a guy you've seen on Letterman and Fox NFL Sunday and Mad TV to be standing at a card table selling his CD.
And the other guys, the guys that are on the undercard, they wish they were being able to do that, right?
Now, the Pulp Fiction guy that was hanging around there, and I think he was getting more notoriety than anything from people walking up and saying, "Are you really the Gimp?"
Yeah.
Yeah, even though the guy I thought had a pretty solid stand-up set.
Right,
yeah, he was good.
And was very good with the people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was just asking him about the red ball in his mouth.
You know, there's really no way that you could really ever prove that wrong, that you were the Gimp.
That's
you
true.
Could never have anybody dispute it. You could never, ever. If you were going to say I was in a movie... And you could just look at people and say, "Yeah, I was the Gimp in Pulp Fiction."
He said,
"There's no way of proving it."
Well, somebody brought it up to him, and he said, "Go to the credits."
Yeah.
He said,
"Bingo."
He said it seriously. Like, somebody said, "Are you really the Gimp?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Then didn't you notice that I have a Quentin Tarantino joke, that Frank has Quentin Tarantino jokes?" He said, "Look at my name in the credits." And somebody said to him, "How are you listening?" And he said, in parentheses, "The Gimp." It was a pretty good night.
That's great.
Sorry that Frank got his balls busted.
Yeah, it's just not fair. He deserves better.
What a dink, though, that did that. Yeah. And no real explanation as to why the guy would have reacted.
It was never
like
clear.
That.
No.
All right, hold on a second. We'll come back, and it's about time we put my mic under the bright spotlights.
Yeah, I'll do the very best I can. I really will. I'll do the best I can.
Okay. Promise?
It's fun.
What was your weekend?
I think so.
Okay, we'll be back.
I'm reasonably sure.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tito? What the f***, Sal? Hey, what are you doing?
Nothing. I was here. It's a joke.
You're f***ing.
Watch it, buddy. You f***.
Watch it. Cupcake?
Guys, come on. It's okay.
You think so?
Sal, please. It's a f***ing joke.
Right. Sure. Say hi to your wife.
I'm serious. Yeah. Sal, please.
Don't say nothing, Sal.
The Don and Mike Show.
Come visit the crease of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's, half a fag from The Sopranos. We'll have him on tomorrow.
All right.
A timely booking.
Yeah, that is a timely booking.
Why don't you call Beth Ann McBride?
Again?
Just rub it in her face.
Uh-huh. Oh, to talk about the booking?
Yeah, just call
the timely booking.
Just rub it in her face.
Look what I did.
I did, and she asked what reality show he was on.
Meow.
Yeah, he just reminded me. I totally am not into this. I don't know why I said it would. Tomorrow is the day that Channel 9 is going to come down here to chat with me about what it's like, life after freedom. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to be exploitative.
Right.
I don't want it to be a giant promotion for our show. It's Derek McGinty, right?
Yes, Derek.
It's not going to be some lackey, right?
No, it's not Tony Pants.
Right. All right, well, I like him, and we'll see. Rob was just asking me stuff like, you know, on the phone of the TV station, they wanted to know if I wanted, like, they want pictures and everything. No. You want to know what it's like to lose a loved one? I'd be glad. Because maybe, really, as jive as it sounds, maybe I can help someone else going through a similar situation.
Right. And, you know, you're going to talk about how you've dealt with it.
Yeah,
right?
And I would love to talk about Frida and her life on this radio show or TV anywhere. So, yeah, that's tomorrow. I feel oogie about it, but we'll discuss it tomorrow.
Good.
Mike.
Yes?
Welcome to the Black Hole.
Hi.
That's your weekend.
I remember a lot of my weekend, actually. I really do. I remember a good portion of it. Just got a little skeechy towards the end. But I can give you as much as I got.
Okay, go.
And it started out really
go.
Great. It started out
whoa.
Great. I have my kids Friday night. My kids were leaving on a vacation with their mother on Saturday. So, I didn't get them for a full weekend. I wanted to get them just on Friday night, you know, whatever time I can spend with them. So I got them on Friday night, and we had a great time. Had to say goodbye to them about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. And then the whole thing, you know, then I was able to focus on the next thing I was going to do, which was the big game at 4:30. Well, I have a tendency, this carries over from childhood, when we would go, if we were lucky, we'd go to one or two games a year where the whole family would go. It was a huge deal for my family. It was a huge deal as far as money because it was expensive to go up there, and we used to get so excited. And because of that, if the game was rained out, which happened occasionally, it would be almost like a childhood trauma. I would be so freaked out because I loved it so much. And I had the similar, all those childhood feelings came out on Saturday as I was watching the Nimrod weathermen. And I was trying to really will the weather to be good because at first the forecast was it's going to be showery in Baltimore during the morning on Saturday, and then it's going to clear out eventually. Then it became rain instead of showers.
Yeah.
And then it became so. Needless to say, I know it's about an hour and a half to get up to Baltimore. We were going to have to leave while it was raining.
Yeah.
So we get to Baltimore and turn on the forecast, and the lady on the weather says, it's going to clear out later on this evening. Oh. And at that point, I started hitting the steering wheel like I was 5 years old. I'm like, no, 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 I knew this. But I looked at the sky, and the sky was telling me something else. Because it was still, you know, it was about 3 o'clock, and it was saying, you know, it's going to brighten up. It's going to. And it sure enough was spinning when we got to Baltimore. It was not a steady rain. And I, you know, everybody's pouring into the stadium. I'm like, they're going to get the game in. We had dressed properly because we had 14 different layers on. Because once the rain moved out, the wonderful baseball Midsummer Night's Dream weather was going to be dipping into the 30s, just like one of the other times I was up there. Mm-hmm. Something about me going to Baltimore when I get tickets for the game, it dips into the 30s. So we get into the game, and everybody's coming. They're obviously going to play it, but we said, well, we got to warm up. Let's go warm up. So we find ourselves a little corner of Camden Yards, and they have one of my favorite flavors, which was, one of my new favorite flavors, Heineken Light. And I was just amazed that at the ball yard, they're gonna have these this new flavor.
You were just funny again.
This new flavor of beer that I like so bad.
It's a new flavor.
It was like walking halfway around the stadium to get it, but then go to back to where we got it. We actually got a table with two chairs in this stand-up bar area. So it was a very lucky find because we were there early.
Right.
And proceeded to, you know, Carla would make a run and then I'd make a run and then we'd go to make a little potty run and then we'd come back. And we went down right when we got there and checked out our seats, and they were very, very good seats.
Good.
That, you know, that I paid a like a scalper broker for, and they were really, really expensive seats. And I was, you know, I go once or twice a year maybe, and this was a big deal for me. Yeah, I don't care if it's 30 degrees. I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to wear layers and we go there. And we begin to get, how shall I say, festive. Very, very
I
very
hate it
festive.
When you talk in code, but we understand what you mean.
Well, we get a little happy. And
I'm on my second beer.
Hey, stop it now.
Carla has, you know, not doing nearly as usual what I'm going to do because she's agreed kind of to be the designated driver.
Right.
And we bump into some people. And as the rain delay goes into its second hour, we begin to chat with various people. I go to the men's room and I come back. And oddly enough, this guy is talking to Carla, which you might think is unusual. It happens
as
quite a
shock when you leave.
Shocker that happens. But he's a cool guy. He's a nice enough guy. Then another couple comes over and she had, I think, an Orioles hat on, and he had a Red Sox jacket on, and I said, oh, a little family problem. She said, more than you think. And she's got an orange T-shirt, and she unzips the jacket to show that her orange T-shirt is a Yankee T-shirt. I said, oh, the enemy. That's so sneaky. You're wearing Orioles colors with the Yankees. And we're like, ha, ha, ha. And I get another two beers. And then, you know, these people bought us around, which was really nice. I don't think I ever get a chance to reciprocate. But then it's game time, and we walk down to the seats that we have, and the game continued, and it got colder and colder and colder to the point where, you know, I wasn't feeling it, but Carla was, and it was a good time was had by all. Halfway through the game, I guess it was about halfway through the game, I hear these people in back of me that are like, well, that's good. Yeah, these are nice tickets, that's for sure. Yes, they are. Really nice. And I heard the accent, but I didn't really process it at that time. And then got to chatting with these people. It turns out they're from Ellsworth, Maine. And I just, you know, under normal circumstances,
you're gay for Maine anyway.
That wouldn't be and why doesn't that bother you? That would normally be a.
It don't bother me.
It would normally be something that I wouldn't make that big a deal of, but because of the time and you know, we were getting close to about the third or fourth inning and the 2 hour rain delay, the festive conditions, I thought it was just this amazing coincidence that these people were from that part of Maine. Start chatting and it goes on, and it's a great game. I mean, Curt Schilling, you know, pitches lights out, they bring the closer Papelbon on, they win, and of course it's time to go, and at that point
pour you into the car. Carla drive you home.
Pour me into the car. We get close to home, and I just get it in my mind that that I want to stop at the joint. And Carla says, well, I don't want to stop at the joint. I said, oh, come on. And just for so now I know I'm tired. You stop at your joint. I'll drop you off. And I get to my joint, and I stop at my joint, and I don't know what time this was.
It's great to own a bar, isn't it?
It is fun. It is fun. I do.
Sure.
You know, when it's like this, you know.
Look around cafe.
When you deal with all the things like, you know, trying to make money and things like that, it's a real drag. But when you and hiring people and making sure that, you know, you do all the things that you're supposed to do, it's fine.
You never get the bugs.
And I have good people that run it for me. But the best part,
the
really,
health inspectors.
The best part really is the best part is going in there and having a good time, and that's what I did. Maybe a little bit too much because I told you before, I called Carla and I told her to come pick me up, which was because my car wasn't there. Normally my car is there and somebody will help me out with
that.
You know,
you were on a pin.
And somebody who's on the clock will actually drive me home. And
it's like Tony.
I have a driver at night.
Big muscly guy like Tony who drives you around.
I'm not going to certainly pursue the alternative. Don't want to do that.
Understood.
Don't want that to happen.
Although I think we would all enjoy you just walking home.
I could. I really could if I had
nicer weather.
In a pinch, I really, really could. It would not be. It would be. You know what it would be? It would be a healthy. It would be a healthy jog. It would not be anything that would be completely outrageous. But you know, it was cold.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
But I can imagine.
It was late, but I wouldn't. I just don't want to do
imagine
it.
Imagine someone's surprise and joy.
I don't want to get rolled either.
If they happen to be out, let's say at 2:15 or 2:20 a.m. on a Friday night, Saturday morning.
I don't
want to
get mugged.
And they're driving down the road and they say, hold on, look at that man in a full jog wearing hard shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Why, look,
That's Radio's Mike O'Mara.
Running like with hard shoes and scared and a scared look on my face. Like I was afraid of someone catching me, of somebody getting me.
Right.
I wouldn't want that to happen. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention, the Red Sox fans up in Baltimore, man, it's almost to the point of embarrassment. I know that ever since they won a World Series, and I'm going to give most of these people credit that they come by it honest, that they have gone through the dark years.
No. They're not like you. You know what they're like?
I've been going there for 20 years, and there's always been a presence, nothing like it is.
They are like the people who are going to go to church this weekend.
That's okay, right. So you're saying they're fair weather fans.
Of course, mm-hmm. Since your boys won.
I think you might be right. I've never seen anything
enchilada,
like it.
Of course.
You know what I had? I had one piece. I had a regular parka on, a winter parka. I didn't have any T-shirt on, anything. The only thing I had was a ski cap that I had with the B on it. And I didn't even wear that after about the fourth inning. I didn't need it anymore.
Well, you're under
my ears were not. Because I don't want to wear the crap.
How come you're not
now
one of those
guys? Now I don't
want
to wear the crap.
Yeah, everybody does.
How come you're not one of those guys, though? I mean,
I wear the crap here. That's when I'll wear it. I'll wear the jacket that I hear. I'll wear the T-shirts that I have here. I'll wear the jerseys that I have here.
I'm one of those guys, though. Like when the Packers played at the Redskins at FedEx, I wore every... I was Joe Idiot.
How many Packer fans were at that game?
At that game? Well, for the Redskins, about half the stadium was Green Bay.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, it's more than half. It seemed like that when I was Saturday night. Everybody was wearing Boston. I mean, there were hit-and-miss Oriole fans in there. And, you know, the Oriole fans are cool fans. I like the Oriole fans. I go up to Orioles games mm-hmm. even when the Red Sox aren't playing. But it's gotten really... Maybe it's because I'm a Red Sox fan. It feels weird. It feels to me weird now because they have won the World Series to be turning out in all the stuff. You know, I just think it's a little strange.
So she picked you up. She
picked me up at closing.
She dropped you off at 11.
She was wonderful. Carla was a trooper this weekend.
Dropped you off at 11.
Carla was a trooper this weekend.
Went home, went to sleep.
I was not an easy hombre to deal with this weekend. You know, I was not particularly difficult, but I was not particularly easy. I know that I was a real brat driving up to the game, and I was driving up to the game. And I think when I hit the steering wheel because of the weather forecast, this is the reaction. This is Carla's reaction when she went, "Oh God!" like that, because I'm a toddler when it comes to the Red Sox. I really am. I'm a little kid.
You also, and I know you don't want to talk about this,
right?
You're also mad about something else.
Yes.
That.
Which I can't talk about.
I know, which is private.
Yeah.
But, you know, involves, you know, guess who?
Right.
And.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were mad about that, and that.
Yeah.
That's probably
the
reason.
I mean, I can say it like that. Yeah, that was the real reason.
Under the surface.
I mean, but really, it did manifest itself getting mad about the weather,
but no,
too.
But
you
no,
know?
Here's really why I'm telling you, you should hold on to this girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that you're not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Jesus Christ, imagine that. Mm-hmm. Going out with somebody when and I know you when I talked to you yesterday and,
right.
and today,
mm-hmm.
you know, without getting into great detail,
yeah,
pissed at the plaintiff and mm-hmm. and you know your poor girlfriend is she's right man
with
she's strong there for you
she
she's
is
not, she's not giving you crap about
she
it.
Is she is and she was and she continues to be and it's I'm very lucky that way
and
I'm very very. Very lucky.
She took you to Subway, too.
And she took me to Subway.
Yeah, and she drives you around when you're drunk, yeah, right. and then you go home, and then mm-hmm. she goes to sleep, and she still comes and picks you up and mm-hmm. stuff.
And the weekend ended just wonderfully with us,
good.
which
well,
was good, because she, good. I owed her a good day, and after I talked to you, you know, in the morning, and then we both woke up later on, it was just a really, you know, she kind of did her thing, but then the weekend ended a lot better than it began. So
good.
It was a good time was had by all. And I really wish I could remember people's names. And stuff because these people were just very, very cool. One of the ladies that was there with us at the game was in the restaurant business too, and so we were chatting about that. And it was just, it was fun, it was festive. But you're right, and I wish I could, but I can't. And I wish I could
but talk about it.
I wish I could talk about
that
stuff, but I can't legally. I can't. And,
right.
and you know, believe me, I believe if there was a day that I could, this would be the day that I could. But you know, that's
you it. have some issues there.
I do,
and I say that to you as your friend, not mm-hmm. busting your balls.
Right. I'm not unusual in that regard either.
No.
I'm not certainly not. I don't think I'm unusual in that.
I got to think you were probably not a very happy guy to be around.
Not Saturday, no.
No, not Saturday.
I enjoyed the game though. Once I got to the game, it was great. Once we were in there,
good.
It was actually a good time. It was the time prior to the game and perhaps immediately after the game.
Hmm.
That was that I was a little difficult.
He had a bad weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like
Mike
half,
had,
half a bad
little
weekend.
Rough. Mike had, well,
I think if you added the hours that were bad compared to the hours that were good, you know, half of it was good, half of it was bad.
Well,
you know.
I don't know. You know what song I like by John Lennon?
What song?
That song called Mind Games.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's a good song.
Good message.
Yeah. I might give you that CD to listen to sometime, Mike.
Thanks. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm on your side.
I know you are.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think.
I know.
I don't think you're the conjurer here.
No, I. In fact, I know I'm not.
Do you understand? I know you.
I know I ain't.
I know you know.
Trust me on that.
You ain't no warlock.
But other than that,
you ain't got a tail.
Hey, it doesn't.
You don't have hooves.
Doesn't everybody have their crap that they have to deal with
sure.
in life? You know, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Not you, Rob.
No,
not one little bit.
Rob's
oh, that's
happy.
Rob. Rob had a free weekend.
Rob had a great weekend. Rob told me his wife was out of town all weekend, and when she got back. She got sick, and last night as she went to bed, she was puking like Tony Soprano.
She was.
Really?
Yeah, but she's better now.
She had a stomach flu?
I don't know.
All right. There's that concern.
There is that concern.
He cares.
I spoke to him. He's just happy. All weekend. I had my awful weekend with the...
Anything mechanical.
Hey, yeah. All these people. I call Rob and go, what are you doing? He's... Oh, it's great. My God, Carrie's still gone.
He's happy today. You can tell he had a good weekend.
Farmed the kids out to relatives. I forget which ones. And Carrie
spent
the night at place. It was so quiet.
Right?
It was so quiet. Wonderful.
That's delightful.
Simply wonderful.
Your color's good. Everything's fine.
I also drank a lot of beer, though.
Ah, very good.
But I have no memory problems.
Well, something about a chilly, chilly spring weekend. I pretty much remember everything.
Good
I do.
For you.
I just don't remember the details as far as names and stuff. But, I mean, that would happen whether I was festive or not.
Right.
Because I'm bad at that.
Okay. Yeah. Is that all?
I mean, that's all. One of those rare times I wish that I could do more, but unfortunately I can't.
Understood. Okay. Well, there you go. Starts with a P and ends with a P.
I'll examine that, too, as far as, you know, what I can do and what I can't. I'll go letter of the law on that one. You know what I mean? I think it's about time I might do that. Might be helpful.
Six-letter word.
Right.
Let's play a game right now. Let's play a password. Six-letter word starts with a P, ends with a P.
Mm-hmm.
Six letters.
Six-letter word starts with a P, ends with a P. I think it's a very important word for you, my friend. And I mean that as your friend. Think about... not necessarily the reason you're really mad, but just in general. Just your philosophy about life. From this moment on, as far as relationships go,
six-letter word
starts with a P and ends with a P.
I'm totally lost.
Okay. You want to buy a vowel?
Give me an A.
An A?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. Do you know what it is?
You want to buy another vowel?
It's a hyphenated word.
Oh.
Hold on. No, I've seen it without the hyphen though. Would you like to buy another vowel?
U.
Yes. We have one U, Mike. We have a U. Now, do I have to do like a Wheel of Fortune?
Fill it in. Show us where the U is. Yeah, you got to show me where the U is.
Okay, so it starts with P.
Uh-huh. I don't have it either.
Blank, 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 U, and ends with P. Would you like to buy a vowel, or would you like to solve the puzzle, Mike?
Or spin.
I want to spin.
Thanks, Al.
I want to... What's it going to land on?
Oh, look at that. Oh, Mike, it landed on... Lose a turn.
Oh, no.
Lose a turn.
Buzz, you want to buy a vowel?
Yeah, I'll try an I. Is there an I?
No.
There is not an I. You know, I bet you, I swear to God, we will take a blind call.
Okay.
An on-screen call. I bet you somebody gets it on the phone.
Second blind
Hello,
call.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, calling from Chi-Town. Loving the live stream, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
Love it, buddy.
Bobby!
Do you have the word?
Can you solve the puzzle?
Matt, do.
Bye!
Just wanted to say Chi-Town.
All right, bye-bye. Pass.
That's Chicago, you know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd like to solve the puzzle. I know what the word is.
All right, what is it?
Pile-up.
That's a five.
No, it's pile up is not correct. First word I thought of, but it wasn't enough.
Pile up.
Pile up.
One more, and then we'll turn them all over. We'll have Vanna turn all of the blocks over. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, turn your radio down. Or just sit there like a dumbass.
Hey, moron, it's you. Do you want to be on the radio?
Take unscreen calls. Hello.
Stupid.
It's you, person. Go.
Stupid.
We just got to wait. You know, we just got to wait now. I hate it when this happens.
Yeah.
Now, are you hearing yourself now? Stupid. Hello.
Turn your radio down, sir.
On-screen call. Hello.
God.
I can solve the problem.
You can solve it?
I figured it
too
out.
Too bad.
Why were we messing
too
with
bad.
That?
Big loser you are, Buzz. You had your chance.
I
Hello.
Know.
Don and Mike Show. You got it? Hello.
Wrong with these phones? I think it's people.
Money Penny.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
The word is prenup.
There you go.
Oh, six
winner.
Left. Yeah, okay.
Winner starts right. with P, ends with P. For you, my friend. For you.
I had it right away.
Yeah, of course. What do we have for him? What
Very
we
good.
Have for him? Oh, the much-dreaded, anticipated ticket to see our favorite band, Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
June 13 at Nissan Pavilion. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster online at Ticketmaster.com. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
That took a while.
We'll be right back.
That's easy.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right?
Did I say
The Don and Mike Show.
Even better than a ball of blood, The Don and Mike Show.
Now, what is better than that, my friends? Well, let's see, we're sent by Barker today.
Yeah.
Rob promises us that Bob Barker will be on the show this week. Tomorrow we'll have the Have a Fag Vito.
Vito from The Sopranos, from the guy Sopranos. That they found in the gay bar last night.
And also, everybody's been emailing and calling.
And
Buzz has come running in. John Norman's come running in. Everybody's done the IMDb search.
Right.
The guy, the comedian that was with Caliendo, who swears he was the Gimp.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now everybody says that that's not the name of the guy that was actually in Pulp Fiction as the Gimp.
Not the guy. You see, my crap detector, I can astrally project my crap detector. I can hear something that everyone has heard, and I can still know that it's crap.
Then he lied to my face, Mike.
But I'm saying that's probably his whole shtick.
Right.
He doesn't care if he gets busted, because there are a lot of people now, especially in this day and age,
not
who are going to do it, Buzz.
Not funny.
And who was the actual Gimp, Buzz?
Steven Hibbert was the Gimp, and I checked, and they never has used the screen name of Scott Long, so it's not the same guy.
Like the doctor.
Steve Hibbert, who is the son of Elrond.
Elrond Hibbert. His name was Kevin Finnerty. I think that's exactly who it was.
Let's see. Oh, celebrity birthdays will be. As a matter of fact, we're going to open up the Dynamite celebrity birthday vault in a moment here.
Who's celebrating a fabulous birthday today?
Well, besides the guy we're going to talk to in a moment, Hef today is 80.
Yeah. Now, that man deserves a round of applause.
Oh,
but
man.
He. I believe, really, the time has come. Either fix the hair or go into retirement, because you're starting to look really like
sad.
A man that maybe just escaped from a nursing home.
Yeah. According to him, 80 is the new 40. Right. Who are the most bankable stars in Hollywood?
Money.
Number one.
Hey, I liked her on Soul Plane.
Baby. Fat girls did not kick ass at the box office as we get as predicted on this show.
As we all said.
Number one.
I don't get it. That was our pick to click.
Bad girls.
Good work.
Here's your most bankable actor. It's Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, number one.
I'm surprised at that.
Followed by Tom Hanks. Followed by Jim Carrey. Then John Depp. Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Crowe. Jude Law. Now listen. How's that faggot bankable? I mean, really? Anybody
he
ever,
does lots of films.
Anybody?
Why
ever,
are you putting him down?
Anybody ever happen to stumble across Alfie? One night, if you're like watching HBO and there's nothing else on, you go, that's a relatively new
who's
movie.
Who's the guy that's the gigolo? Ace Bigelow. Who's that?
Rob Schneider.
Where's he on that list?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mike. Exactly. Thank you.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider's new movie, number two at the box office this weekend.
No.
Right? About the
the retarded baseball team.
Maybe next year.
Right? Let's see. Also, Clooney's on the list. Julia Roberts, blah, blah, blah. And
These are men and women. This is a combined list.
And Nicole Kidman. That's your top ten. Your most bankable stars.
They got bank.
And I got another list that, Mike, you in particular, more than anybody, with the exception of Rob,
yes,
are going to love. Now, both you guys, keep it in your pants, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of cars that are stolen in America. What's the number one? This is not the list I'm going to get to. But what do you think the number one brand of car that's stolen is?
Dodge Caravan.
No. No, the maker.
Honda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're correct. There are 10 cities in America that have the most auto thefts. What do you think number one is?
New York?
No, negative. Number one is Phoenix.
Hmm.
Can I tell you something? Of the top 10 cities in America that have the most car thefts, you're going to love this. It's not just Sacramento, Mike.
What are the... all right, well, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Let's go from the bottom.
Okay. Right. This is up to the number one most dangerous city for having
number
a car.
10. If you want a star, if you own a car, good chance to be stolen. Number 10 is Tacoma, Washington.
Surprised.
Hmm. Number 9, Seattle, Washington.
That's I didn't know that it's rainy and rainy.
Port cities where the cars come in, maybe.
Number 8, Oakland, California.
Yeah, well, that's a tough town.
Number 7, Sacramento, California.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Number 6, Miami.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5,
another port city.
Mm-hmm. Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah.
Not a port city.
No.
Number four.
Just, you know, tough people all around there.
Number 4. Stockton, California.
Wow.
Number 3. Hold on, Mike. It gets better.
You made Mike very happy.
We got Sacramento and Stockton.
Number 3.
Right.
Fresno, California.
Wow. Boy, places where we're popular.
And as I mentioned, Phoenix is number 1.
Right.
The number 2 capital for car theft in America is Modesto, California.
Holy smokes.
Both Mike and Buzz are doing the dance right now.
Mike and Rob are.
I'm sorry.
Buzz is watching an amazing.
Mike and Buzz, yes. I'm sorry, but they are doing. Joe, you're here. Come here. How would you describe the dance?
Yeah.
Describe it. Describe it.
Very spirited.
Come on, be more explicit.
Oh, well, Rob has got his finger in his ear and his nose.
Mike
is simulating
that special favor.
Mike's doing the Madonna thing.
Mike's doing the strain, and then he's slinging.
Mike is pretending that he's an animal at the zoo now, in the monkey cage.
Slinging something.
On that list of top 10, Modesto, Sacramento, and Fresno, and one other one.
Stockton, and Sacramento.
Wow.
And don't forget, with Stockton, it's Stockton/Lodi.
Right.
Yeah. Lodi.
Right. Where was Chico on the list? Where the hell was Chico?
That's when I take the cars.
I knew you would be happy.
Wow. That is a fun list.
Out of the top 10 cities in America, 5 are right around the Sacramento area.
That's incredible. Yeah, well, maybe people can offer insight. No, they can't.
Don't call.
Boy. Ooh, boy, I worked up a sweat.
And that was maybe the best Sacramento dance you guys have done, because there was simulated oral from Mike using a bottle.
Yes,
right,
the old Madonna trick.
Right after you did the thing where you pretended you were the monkey at the Great Ape House.
Throwing poo.
And then you had Rob with the fingers going into various orifices.
Horrified.
Delightful. We haven't done that dance. And you know, Rob, we should reserve that dance when something really bad is said about that area.
Or when we feel the need.
Yeah, you're right.
Orofy.
Do better, man. Oh, man. Well, make sure you keep your keys in the kitchen cabinet.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Cabonet.
My car just got stolen. I live in Sacramento.
Sacramento.
I don't believe you.
Nor do I.
You did.
I do not believe him either.
Send us a copy of the police report.
What?
Exactly. I don't doubt you're from that area, though.
What? I am.
Right, okay.
Bye!
The guy was also the Gimp in Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, we're so happy at Sacramento, people. I got to. We're joining you, man. You guys are great.
Thank you, idiot. Bye-bye.
Bye!
Funny, there's not much comment. The guy said...
Yeah, I'm rubbing it out right now.
I don't know if that got on the air. He mentioned that he had something in his hand.
Mm-hmm. I simulate that, okay, when I'm doing the Sacramento News. I don't do it for real.
No.
God!
Not hello, anymore.
Don and Mike show. Right, not since the Janet Jackson thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, you used to.
Yeah.
Before the FCC tightened up.
It was a different climate.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oops, what's going on here? Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, all those cities in California where they have all the cars being stolen, that's probably the same cities where they have all the crystal meth population.
Well, I think we've heard about crystal meth in that part of the world,
right.
Too.
Huh.
Oh, big time.
You that's, find that's, your finest crystal meth in the streets of Sacramento.
Where are you calling from, sir?
Guess.
Yeah, you see, this is perfect. He is so excited that something is being said bad about his city
right.
that he has to chime in mm-hmm. and kick his fellow man.
You're calling from Sacramento.
You're a case study.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them crackheads.
Bye!
You're not one of them crackheads.
Yeah, there's a movie that's pretty obscure. It's called Sideways. It's you can get it on DVD. It's really a funny movie.
It ain't too obscure, Mike.
It got nominated for a couple Academy Awards. But the movie has one scene where one of the guys bangs a waitress from the local rib house.
Yeah.
And they go out to a suburb that it would appear to be perhaps in between Napa Valley and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that guy that chases?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought of him.
Yeah, hello.
No explanation.
Not in my show. Hello. Hello there.
Someday running for office.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. Hey, I'm from Starkin right now. But hey, bring back my car.
Okay. Everybody, you know they couldn't. They can't control that.
Mike, it's comedy. Comedy flows in the water like we put fluoride in the water here.
Right.
They put comedy in the water mm-hmm. in Northern California. All of our calls from 916 are hilarious today.
Comedy, thy name is Modesto.
Don and Mike, hello.
Yeah, I just want to let you know my brother-in-law's car was stolen 4 times, same car in Sacramento.
See, nobody's stealing their funny bones, though.
But see,
We love you guys out here. Keep it up.
I believe this
Thank
guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I believe that his brother's car was stolen 4 times.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, what an honor to speak to you guys.
Of course it is.
Sacramento.
You're from Sacramento, California.
Here they come.
Right on. Howdy.
You can't stop them.
Hey, Don, are you still planning to or thinking about moving out here?
Every day, sir. Living the dream. Anyway, what can we do for you? How many cars have you had stolen?
I've had 2 cars stolen in the last 3 years.
Are you serious?
Yep.
What were they?
They were both Honda Accords. They're number 1 on the list.
How's the meth out there?
It's been very bitter tasting.
Okay.
Yeah.
You dip your finger in that crap, but man, what a buzz.
Bitter like the people.
Who would know? Thank you.
Bye! When they steal your car, how do you get to Applebee's?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You are wound up.
Hello.
You've been keeping it in check.
Don and Mike, hello. Hello, Don.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
A lot of those stolen cars end up out in orchards on fire from running meth.
I bet it's beautiful. I missed it.
You laughed. What did he say?
He said a lot of those cars end up out there in orchards from running meth. They end up on fire.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Car thieves burn the cars to cover the prints. And Joe Ardinger has contributed.
Again, thank you, Buzz, for helping out with more facts.
Joe Ardinger has contributed with a theory today. He believes that the high auto theft rate is due to the fact that they're too stupid to take the keys out of the ignition. That's what he said.
What, did he write that down and bring that
yes,
in?
Yes, my card.
Joe.
You're still laughing.
Joe.
You freaking idiot.
You mean you can take the keys out?
Shut up. You're as dumb as they are.
Let's start again.
Listen, just see if you can manage to go to the baseball game tomorrow and read the questions like we've asked you to, please.
I will see if I can manage it.
All right, Joe. Good day, sir.
Good day.
He's so happy.
It should be mentioned that Joe also
feels great
joy when we were back in Sacramento.
All right, so did we mention, yes, it's Hef's birthday, and it's somebody else's birthday today, too.
Huh?
Somebody else's birthday. Somebody who thinks, Rob?
Yeah?
You're pretty. Somebody who thinks you're very pretty.
Oh. Well, that narrows it down to 1,000.
We'll be back.
Birthdays are special for me.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Frank's late. Must have been held up in traffic.
Frank won't be coming in today.
24-hour virus.
Or tomorrow.
48.
Frank quit. Bought a goat farm. Moved to Ukiah. Left you this note. He was too broken up to talk about it. Said he knew you'd understand.
Uh-huh.
Every man has a dream to chase. Frank's was that goat farm.
The Don and Mike Show.
Your daily mental floss. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's your horrible scopes?
Horrible scopes.
If you're born today, it's your lucky day. Lucky number six. And you'll celebrate a birthday on the same day as Hugh Hefner. And also, from Nash, Harry Morgan.
How are you?
91 today.
91.
He's been on our show as...
Happy 91st to me.
He's been on the show as Harry Potter.
Hi.
Also on the show as himself.
Me.
Wife beater.
Old.
Former star of MASH.
God, I'm old.
Harry Morgan.
Old man Potter.
91 today.
Yeah, all you real old listeners remember Dragnet. I was on with Jack Webb.
Yeah.
But I didn't come by for that.
No.
Came by to see the boy.
Happy birthday to you, incidentally.
You know
Harry.
What I've saved after all these years of being alive?
All your goo?
My elasticity. I'm still supple.
Huh.
What's that mean? Oh, you know.
He'd like to bend. You would like Rob to be your Mr. Pretzel, wouldn't you?
Hold on a second. Let me seat my teeth better.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh.
Couple of thumbs. Move the front plate back a little bit. We're all set to go.
That doesn't
happy birthday. Where's my cake and ice cream?
Well, Rob's here.
Hi.
Yeah.
How'd you like to come out and celebrate my birthday with a nice birthday dinner?
We could go somewhere.
I'm thinking sushi.
Are
you like to go to one of them newfangled sushi bars?
You always think sushi.
They serve all their meat raw.
Yeah.
Just like I like
hey,
it.
Hey, Harry.
How are you? Could you do me a favor, boy?
I'll try.
Just take a walk over to the door for me, could you?
It's been a while.
Just a little one?
Yeah.
Take those headphones off.
Should I hike this shirt up?
It would be nice if you could. Why don't you tuck that in anyway?
No, I don't
care. It's the way the kids wear it now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
holding up his shirt.
Oh, my. Oh.
Happy birthday. Eric.
That's lovely. Rob Spiewak's the man I come by to see.
Uh-huh.
Boy, does he have a great set of buns.
You're only 56 years older than me.
That's true. Who cares? Age is just a state of mind.
Okay.
And don't forget that word I mentioned. Elasticity.
Well, you were fooling
that's
with your
real,
teeth.
Real important. That's where...
What
right back here.
Oh, there?
Yep.
Oh,
I'm just like an 18-year-old back there.
I don't know where that would be.
No problem at all.
You have a lovely,
matter of fact, I
have
keep...
A
what?
Lovely teenage colon?
I've got everything teenage. I'm in good shape, doing well. Just have some issues with slurred speech occasionally, but not too much. Boy, I'm so excited. I feel like I'm 50. I really do. I feel like a youngster. And I feel especially young when I'm around the boy.
Now, if you could have anything you want.
People ask me, what's your favorite part of show business? I said, I've been on a major network television series that's been overwhelmingly successful. I was on a wonderful crime drama before the genre was even really popular. But what I like more than anything else is visiting these two radio fellows I know, Don and Mike. Getting to see their producer, Rob Spiewak.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a picture of him in my room.
Really?
At the home.
What would you like Rob to give you for your birthday?
I'm not sure I could say exactly what it is.
Or can you write it down?
Sure.
Oh, this should be good.
Hold on. Just give me a minute here.
He's old.
Why don't you ask me how my wife's doing?
How's your wife doing?
Don't care.
Oh.
Why, weren't you in the news? Wasn't he in the news recently for beating his wife?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Simple misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't listen. That's all there was to it.
You were drinking.
That's right.
Now you're writing down what you would like Rob to give you for your birthday.
That's what I want.
You want him to...
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's what I'd like him to do.
Well,
do it, boy.
No.
Do it now.
I can't do that.
Do it now.
I can just say.
Come on now. It takes a long time. Usually about an hour and a half just to get me ready.
Can't do that to that.
Oh, what a shame.
Maybe some cake.
What does a rooster say, incidentally?
Huh?
cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yeah. I get jokes. That's fine. Oh, I tell you, I'm not long for this world. Would love the boy to really make this the best birthday ever while I'm still upright. You know, when they plant me in the ground, you know. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
How are you?
Happy birthday. I'm well. Thank you.
You can come, too.
I'd love that.
Yeah, come on and watch.
It's not a good birthday.
Sure.
It really sucked.
Oh, you're a man after my own heart. You like that, huh?
No.
Let me tell you what what I got.
Why don't you go back to Berghoff?
Here's something, Berghoff. I wouldn't speak to him if he was the last man on the earth.
Really?
Oh.
He burned me bad.
How?
You want the whole story? I'll give it to you in encapsulated form.
Berghoff the Jerkoff.
That's a good name for him. He outed me.
Oh.
Long time ago,
Radar O'Reilly.
Radar and I were in the commissary, and he made a few comments, and I'll tell you something, it really, really made me sore. Sore. And I'm not talking the kind of sore you get after a weekend of partying at the bathhouse. I'm talking about being sore at him.
Yeah.
I'll never speak to that large-headed moose again.
Huh.
Berghoff is dead to me. You notice that career hasn't been resurrected either.
That's true.
And if he wants to resurrect his career, what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to apologize in written form to me and all of my friends.
Who wants a sauna?
You know what he did?
What?
He was sitting in the commissary and he said, pass the jello, faggot.
Oh, no.
How do you like them apples? What's that? That's lack of respect for his elder actors.
Yep.
I don't care for him. Never spoke to him since that day.
What about
all the mediation from Larry Linville? Wouldn't matter one little bit. God rest his soul. Didn't matter to me. Wouldn't have anything to do with Berghoff.
What about Wayne Rogers?
Wayne Rogers is fine. Yep. Fine man, brings me candy.
Does he?
Every single Tuesday. Tuesday comes by and he comes by with candy for me.
But
he's
like
not
him?
Special that way.
No.
Doesn't go there. No. Not
we
like
have a
you.
Gift. We have a gift for you.
Got a present for my 91st birthday.
Tonight, we are going to have Rob take you down to DuPont Circle. Do you remember when you went to get the...
I do.
Remember when you went to that Turkish bath place?
Sure, then spent a night at the Hotel Rouge.
Yeah, what you're going to go get a nice...
Damn fine time,
get
too.
A nice schwitz.
Yeah. Oh, boy, there's nothing quite like a steam. Have you ever gotten your pores opened? Nothing quite like
Would you like to open Rob's pores?
First I went to the Circle was 1936.
Wow.
36 at the Circle. It was that way back then, too, if you knew where to go.
So tonight we're going to send you up to a Turkish...
Lots of old cars driving around, but if you went to the third floor...
Back then?
1919-something. I'm not sure, but it was up at the third floor, right above a dance studio and above a deli.
We have for you...
Yeah.
A Turkish bath certificate for two.
You know, when I get into a steam room, it opens up my pores and makes me feel a little rusty.
Awesome. That hotel you wanted to go to?
Rouge.
We got you a suite.
The Red Room?
And?
The Red Room.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Rob, you have to leave the room for just a second.
Oh, yeah. I hate when this happens.
Probably best.
So,
do you remember what...
Hold on. Yeah.
Are you looking at him?
Watching him walk away.
He's better walking away than he is walking towards you. Yes, what are we going to do?
Who wants a roofie?
Oh, fantastic.
You want a roofie for Rob?
I sure do. Absolutely.
How many would you like?
Give me two. He's a big boy.
Happy birthday.
Absolutely. I'll put two in his ginger ale, all ground up.
He loves it.
Won't even notice. Everything's going to be just fine. You're going to be my chaperone this week. It's going to be us, just like I always liked it. We'll go down and see the park and have all sorts of fun times. Maybe we'll join one of those Hispanic protests they're having downtown.
That sounds good. You know what?
It'll be a lot of fun.
I could really use a couple dinner mints. Do you have any after dinner mints?
Nah, no problem at all. Why, you got a breath problem?
Just a couple that I could swallow right now. I want to be kissing sweet.
Ah, boy. Wow, boy. He's never returned my affection. That makes Mike feel oogie. Yeah. No problem at all.
Why don't you go ahead and give Rob the...
Here.
Rob the mints.
Sure.
These mints?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Swallow them whole. Attaboy.
There you go. Now, Rob, let's
didn't do much to my breath.
Let's see how ready you are to commit to this bit now.
Hold on. Let me see if I can take a couple of pills.
You want some, too?
That's okay.
Your mints are blue.
All done. Give me 5 minutes. No problem at all.
How are you feeling, Rob?
What?
Hey, attaboy. All right. Go down to my car.
Car.
Wait in my car.
Car.
I've got a special car and a special driver. Look at him. He's getting all woozy. Yes.
He feels kind of...
Fitting to the bit.
Very sleepy.
Disturbing, ain't it?
Welcome to the CBS Playhouse.
There we are. Should be a lot of fun. Yes. You just lie down right there. I'll take care of you.
You know, now I can see why he lettered in theater arts.
Yeah.
He's
down. Get the boy a blanket.
He's down. Right. Now he's down. Now,
you know what I call that?
What?
Vulnerable.
Uh-huh. Now look at that. Mm-hmm. You could, if you wanted to.
No, wouldn't do it.
You could RNP him right now.
Gotta dress him first.
Oh, the conference.
Gotta dress him first. Just the right way.
Uh-huh.
You don't have that Batman utility belt handy, do you?
But you could just rape and pillage him right
now. No, no need. No, got to do it the special way. What I do is, you want me to walk you through it?
Yeah.
Once he's fully out, now he's still semi-conscious.
So
I put him on the couch and I pose him.
God.
I pose him.
Uh-huh. God damn, I'm tired.
I pose him like he's a brontosaurus in the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History.
I smell mothballs.
Yeah, we'll have a good time. You've got to give him about more than a half an hour, and then he'll be ready for me.
Are you saying his balls smell like moths?
No, they don't.
Drooling.
Like daisies. Well, daisies in a bakery.
It's not daisies.
In a bakery.
Fresh baked bread.
Oh, boy, this is starting to creep me out now.
God, I'm tired.
All right, go over and sit over in the corner now. Get away. Get out of my sight for a minute.
Sit down and rest.
You're spoiling the fantasy.
In this light, you look nice.
I can't stand
different.
It. Now you're turning the tables on me. Harry's got to go.
Yeah.
Harry's going to puke.
See you later.
Harry's going to puke.
See you later.
La la.
I just want to shake hands or anything?
No, I don't want to touch him now.
You don't want to touch him?
Something about seeing him lose control of his faculties makes me a little gross.
How about a hug?
No, no need.
Hug.
Maybe.
Huh.
Maybe one.
Why'd you go hug him?
No, that's not necessary.
Go give him a hug, Rob.
I'll give you a nice handshake.
Commit to
see
it.
You later.
Go commit to it, Rob. Go commit to it. Here he comes. Here he comes.
I'm not hugging you.
Yeah, come on. Come on, hug.
Come on.
Hug, you two big fags.
Birthday hug. Great.
Wasn't that fun? Happy birthday to me. See you later. Gotta run now. Bye-bye. It's been real nice. It's been real fun.
Where are you going?
Thanks, Don.
No.
Get the door now.
No, you're still here.
All right. How about you joining him?
Hey, I don't go that way.
Come on now. You haven't lived unless you've tried it. Come on now.
How about a hug?
You win. I gotta go.
About to hug.
Down. I gotta go.
I'll hug you.
The real homophobe in me is coming out now. Buzz a little. Thank God. Oh, jeez.
Would you come over and hug Harry?
No need.
He'd rather not.
No need. Harry doesn't
want to.
Harry
icon.
Want to play gay anymore.
Harry Morgan, sure.
Rob? Good for you. You and I are the only ones that would commit to this. I mean, really, if push came to shove, would you kiss Mike?
Now you're going to get... That's it. Let's do the old John L. Sullivan.
Oh, like Lords of Queensborough.
That really frost my bag.
Boxing like old timers.
Oh, I'm suddenly feeling like I might be having that fatal heart attack. Oh, dear.
No, you're just afraid of doing the fag.
The lights are going out.
Be careful what you wish.
I'm having a stroke.
Where on the radio was strictly forbidden. One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Rip it.
He made it up.
Wow.
Be careful what you say.
Oh, stop it, you.
He'd do it today.
Behave yourself.
He lettered in Theater Arts.
Buzz?
Yes.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Buzz, who also would not commit to this bit.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What do you got for us tonight on your news show, Buzz?
Tonight, Halliburton bathes our troops in crap. Are we about to nuke Iran? And a whole new meaning for the words milk money.
Ooh.
Baby.
Milk money.
Story Don will like.
Oh, that must be about breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
Breast milk?
Yeah.
Phooey!
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Go ahead, take a look at him.
You're pushing the envelope. You want to commit?
Yeah.
You know, I do commit occasionally.
That's you got about
I
10
truly
seconds
commit.
Oh, no.
You got 10 seconds
you
to decide.
You want me to commit?
No.
No, don't take no.
I'll okay. commit. No, right,
you
no.
Will.
I want him to commit.
No,
come
win.
On over here,
no.
Don.
No.
Donnie, come on.
All right, Mike's taking his shirt off. You will.
Yeah. Hey. Thank you. Thank you all very much.
You know what that was?
Thank
that was
you.
That was a little radio poker.
There
and
it was.
You just got me to fold. You wanted to take your shirt off so I could hug
come
you.
Come on.
Oh, he's unzipping
oh, no,
now.
Jesus.
Gonna break.
Let's Jesus go for Christ. It, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more. Equally attractive to both sexes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Ah, don't bring me down, Bruce Springsteen.
You got me running.
Did you know the song is about Bruce Springsteen?
I did not.
There you go.
Didn't know that.
Don't bring me down, Bruce. Now here's a Buzz, who has his curly hair back, kind of. You know, my man Jeff Lynne from this group, ELO.
Right.
And this song really is about Bruce Springsteen.
I didn't know that.
His song's being so goddamn depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in the day. Right. Buzz's hair normally is big and afro-y, like,
used to be, yeah.
Like Jeff Lynne from ELO, and
right.
Now it looks like Helen of Troy. It looks like Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At Tube Brute.
Yeah. Kind of looks like it's combed towards the front.
I haven't mastered the short hair yet.
There wouldn't be a reason that you're combing it over.
Just trying to come into the century, fashion-wise.
Really?
Yeah.
Trying to be like a hipster?
Yeah.
What'd you do with the curls?
How's that working out?
Yeah, I mean, you've been perming your hair for...
No, where'd the curls go?
I have naturally
curly. Your hair is just black.
Like the girl on the Peanuts cartoon.
Naturally curly.
Anyway, Lucy. Was it Lucy? Or no, it was the other girl.
Yep.
Frida.
Yeah.
What about Frida?
No, Frida from the Peanuts comic strip.
Was a character.
Was she the younger one than Lucy that always, like, pushed her hair off her head?
Sally is Charlie Brown's little sister. Frida says she has naturally curly hair.
All right.
He was hot.
You would know.
Peppermint Patty.
Always.
Still.
In a great tomboy way.
But Marcy was hotter.
You ever eat a peppermint patty?
Yes. It's like the dew falling off the cool green leaves.
Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mike, for committing and going all the way with
Yes. Unlike the previous bit.
Here's Buzz. No, you did.
At the end, I did.
Yeah. You took your shirt off.
But in my opinion, it's just like it was an end zone celebration, when the game was, an hour over. That's the way I looked at that. You know, shirt should come off right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Here's Buzz now with Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Now, despite the advances made in baby formula, there's still... ain't nothing like the real thing.
Oh, yeah.
A baby cannot digest cow's milk in their first year. Studies show babies are healthier and smarter if they have mother's milk, especially from their own mother. Some babies cannot survive without mother's milk. Some mothers cannot do the nursing.
Oh.
Some women produce milk they cannot use.
Some men are truly fascinated with this.
Mm-hmm. Some men find women in that condition to be extraordinary.
Yes.
Wow.
Let me just say this.
Extraordinary.
You ought to say it in a British way. It's extraordinary.
Not to the point where they're leaking. That's where I draw the line.
Good for you, though.
I'm glad to hear that, because I don't think there's anything real special about that.
You know, if something happens, it happens. But generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
I like it, I like right before it starts to leak.
Mm-hmm. On a related note, did you see Carmen Electra on Regis and Kathy Lee today?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, it was noticeable.
But hers aren't full of milk.
No.
I mean, she's like leaking motor oil or whatever she's got in her.
MW400
boobs. Her boob sack.
So some babies must have it. Some women can't make it. Anyway, under the law of...
In her beanie babies. beanie booby babies.
Under the law of supply and demand, a market is born. Women buying breast milk from other women.
And men buying breast milk.
Well, sometimes now these women are smart and they go through their doctors. Some buy from milk banks at around $3 an ounce. That's $100 a day.
Oh, I get it for you cheaper than that.
It is cheaper on the internet and more dangerous because maybe the donor has a disease or drinks or uses drugs, prescription or otherwise. The milk banks screen their donors with blood tests and questionnaires.
Donnie and his breast latte.
But milk sellers often add one other requirement for purchasers. Quoting one, some online ads, no perverts.
I like two quarts.
No perverts.
Two quarts and some Bosco.
Did you hear that last part that he said there? Did you hear that?
Just the women.
So you can't buy it. You can't buy it.
No perverts.
Just for moms.
More Ovaltine, Mom, please.
One of life's other elixirs, of course, is water. A doctor in...
Oh, now come on, please.
Well, please. Some people...
Like we're going to compare?
I don't drink it, but...
You don't drink
we should
water.
Drink water. Water.
I drink water, too.
You don't drink water? Not as much as I should. I preferred cola-colored.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right. Caramel colored.
Yeah, I don't recommend that. Don't do what I do.
Right. Hey, and let's hear it for Pepsi. I don't know why they're still running those commercials that suck so bad during the Super Bowl with Jay Moore. They're trying to go with the whole tan line of brown and bubbly.
Right.
You know,
Jay Moore and the career that wouldn't die.
I mean, I don't hold Jay Moore responsible. Jackie Chan responsible.
Right.
But the people at Pepsi should know that whole brown and bubbly thing. That never caught on.
But how long has Jay Moore been doing the, you know, the tough guy, a-hole agent thing? I mean, he's been doing that since Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
how many years is that?
But here's the thing. He's kind of like, I think Jay Moore is one of those guys that could probably live off that role.
Right.
For his whole life. But
I don't think they use him the right way in the Pepsi commercials.
No, I agree, but just about Jay Moore in that role, even now, when I'm reading stuff about T.O. going to Dallas and stuff, they keep mentioning that, I guess, some receiver said, let's be like Jerry Maguire and Rod Tidwell. And the guy's agent, I guess, this was T.O. and Drew Rosenhaus.
Mm-hmm.
And T.O. said to him, show me the money. I'm going to be like Rod Tidwell. You're like Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pointed out that in the movie, the character of Jay Moore is really based on Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah. I thought it was Lee Steinberg.
No, a young Lee Steinberg. Jerry Maguire. Tom Cruise is Lee Steinberg.
Right, but Jay Moore's character is the evil one.
Is based on the guy that's T.O.'s agent.
That's amazing. And that doesn't surprise me.
And in that regard, that's why even now, 10 years after that goddamn movie came out,
it still has legs.
People still go, oh yeah, Rosenhaus, right, that's the guy that Jay Moore's character was based upon in Jerry Maguire.
You would think after what T.O. has gone through that somebody might just say he might want to step into the background a little bit. But he's not going to do it. He's not that kind of guy, right?
They have those spots that they're still running on NFL Channel, I love, where they have all the guys saying all of the things that they got wrong during the year.
Right.
Like it's got the big, gigantic, fat, I mean, like a 400-pound guy wearing a Browns jersey, and he's standing at a buffet, and he says, this is the year, I guarantee. And then they got some other guy, a short order cook, who's going, Chad Johnson. I never heard of Chad Johnson.
That's right. He had a great year.
And I got these other guys that are going, I think the Seahawks should fire Holmgren. They're going nowhere. And then the last one is those two Patriot fans with that idiot Pock the Car Boston voice.
Right.
Where the one guy goes, yeah, that Drew Rosenhaus. He's money, man. I wish he was my agent. That's good.
Good. I like that.
I mean, they've run forever, but right. They're still good.
And they still hold up. They hold up until next season.
Yeah, they do.
Good ones you can run forever. Bad ones, not so much. A doctor in the U.S. Army serving in Iraq says Halliburton gave our troops contaminated water, setting off an outbreak of bacterial infections.
Oh no.
Captain Michelle Callahan says she treated a half dozen infections over a two-week period in January. That was just after she noticed the shower water turned cloudy and started smelling foul. Turns out the soldiers were bathing, shaving, and brushing their teeth with E. coli and coliform. In other words, they were being bathed in feces.
No, I believe, Buzz,
yes?
That they were being bathed in the water that, in the toilet last night with Tony Soprano.
Oh, yes, man. Oh. And you're right, they had the overhead shot just to make sure
they knew he was
vomiting blood.
Yeah. They wanted you to know that it was blood. They didn't want you to think it was vomit.
That's not good. You're not supposed to vomit. Well, I'm going to say that. I'm going to commit to that. Go out on a limb and say,
there you go.
Blood in your vomit.
And now let's go for another really brash statement. Rob, what is your feeling on cancer?
Oh, I hate cancer.
Good for you, Rob.
Way to go out on a limb, Rob.
Hate it.
It's a brave stand.
There you go.
Halliburton gets a few shekels from its friends in the government to supply the troops with logistical support, and that includes clean water. Halliburton says its water is, quote, consistent with Army standards. The Army says it's working hard to provide clean water.
Price consistent.
Nice to know that they can do that with the money they're
getting. Consistent with quality.
We find, we sampled the water, and to the best of our knowledge, the water is consistent with Army quality.
With quality.
And thank you.
I'm Sergeant Sysaks.
Where an educated consumer is our best customer.
An educated soldier.
And after 30 days, our water is marked brown.
Well, it's possible, I guess. We might still bomb the crap out of Iran. The White House is apparently keeping that option on the table, saying it again as recently as yesterday. Hopefully, just talking about it, we'll move along the diplomatic talks to get Iran to stand down.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
From its nuclear program. Now there's a report that the U.S. is considering using nukes to wipe out Iran's underground laboratories. Yesterday, the White House said the, quote, normal defense and intelligence planning is underway. Last month, the president said, quote, I'll make it clear again, we will use military might to protect our ally Israel. Vice President Cheney, Secretary of State Rice have echoed that sentiment. But experts say this talk is more of a strategy than it is an option. And today, the White House is playing down those reports of bombing Iran.
I'd much rather talk about, Jimmy Smith beat, what's his name?
That
beat,
was a surprise.
Beat the guy from MASH.
Alan Alda.
On the West Wing last night.
You're still enjoying the West Wing.
I believe last night may have been the last episode.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. They finally did have, Josh finally did bang that hot girl that's got, like, the dough face.
Josh is still on the show.
I mean, like,
show.
D-O-E, like doe, a deer, right. A female deer, not like doughy, like sweet doughy-headed Joe.
No.
He finally banged her hard on election night.
Really? And they put it on TV?
Four or five, well.
Yeah. I mean, as much as they can.
You know, they did like in the old-time movies.
Right.
You know, like where they show them in bed and then afterwards.
You didn't see any Sipowicz action or anything, did you?
No, you didn't see his hairy ass.
Damn. Okay. Should still be on the air if they did that.
Damn. Didn't see his ass. I like the West Wing. I'm sad to see the show go. And I'm glad that they went out on a science fiction angle. You know? Right. A Hispanic president.
Science fiction. What's next? A woman in the White House? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a show about that. I'm sorry.
From our oops with a capital O department, one of our Air Force bases posted online detailed defense information about the president's airplane, Air Force One. This information included where the secret service agents are stationed on the plane. It included how a sniper could take out the oxygen tanks in the plane's sick bay and how the plane's anti-missile system works. The Secret Service has no comment, quoting an Air Force spokesman. It's not a good thing. The Secret Service, one of our newspapers, noticed the information, notified the Secret Service about it early last week.
I bet it wasn't that guy with the Band-Aid on his neck.
From 24?
Yeah. No.
You're goddamn right. That guy is as strong as Rob's breath.
And Aaron is 100% American.
And he's got a great accent, which I don't know how to do yet, but I just like the way he says, yes, that's right over here, Mr. Palmer.
Oh, and
right over here,
I don't know if we mentioned this or not. Kiefer Sutherland has signed up for 3 more years of 24.
I had no idea. I thought they were making noise like he was going to be moving into feature films.
They gave him one of those.
Of course, he's done feature films.
Mike, they gave him one of those Billy Peterson deals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Billy P. He's going to be a like the executive producer now of 24.
Well, you know what you can look for on 24 then? When Jack Saves the World, he'd be wearing a straw hat.
That means I direct programs.
Oh, you know, what are you doing here? I'm looking for the Jack Bauer tape.
Oh, that's funny.
And you found someone else.
Found this guy, this ass.
My name is Greg Gillespie.
Okay.
I think I saw him floating around earlier today.
The movie Brokeback Mountain makes its debut in a prison. What could possibly go wrong? That's our story when we come back. Say that again.
No.
Louder?
No.
And slower.
Not going to do it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been
so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Your destination for disappointment. The Don and Mike Show.
Damn right. And once again, from his cubicle, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, the Oscar-winning movie Brokeback Mountain made its American debut on DVD last Tuesday. 2 days later, it debuted in the largest all-male prison in Massachusetts.
Homo.
Now an officer at the prison is being punished for showing it. The warden says the officer didn't watch the movie first. State prison officials say it's not the subject matter. It's, quote, the graphic nature of sexually explicit scenes, end quote.
Come again?
Yeah. No word on how the officer's being punished, but the imagination runs wild.
Hold on. They rented this movie at an all-men's prison.
Right.
They brought the movie, and do you think the people at the prison didn't know it was a gay movie?
I didn't say they didn't know. I say that the officer who showed the movie didn't pre-screen it first. Otherwise, his bosses say it never would have been shown because of its sexual nature.
Yeah, that's what I mean, pre-screening. So there was like a guard
who was supposed to watch it.
So there's a guy whose job it is to shoot prisoners who might want to escape, yet he's so dumb the guy doesn't know that Brokeback Mountain's a gay movie?
He didn't watch it. I don't know if he knew or not. He didn't watch it.
We're going to play the guards.
Yeah. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
I'm sorry, Buzz.
No! I thought you had 20 more.
I don't know. It's a short little story.
Oh, that was it. Okay. Yeah. So again, I'm lost. I'm sorry. I'm having a brain fart here.
Right. Knew probably the content of the movie that it was a gay movie. Didn't know that it was so explicit inside the movie.
Oscar-winning film.
Inside the movie.
Okay. That's it. Well,
if you want, I'll take my shirt off again.
No. This is driving me nuts all night. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir. And you.
Hey, Mike.
Rob.
How about a hug?
Oh, boy. Goodbye.
When we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.